across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Welcome to the Father's Day edition of the American Adversaries Sunday Night, a three-hour tour on the good ship 1520 WBZW. Folks, we're not on News Talk 660 WRL just yet. That'll happen after the Rays wrap-up. But we are on the good ship 1520 WBZW. I'm Blair Adams with a Father's Day present for all the conservative dads out there. The goddess of subterfuge, former Secretary of State, former First Lady, and presidential wannabe, Hillary Clinton, is now embroiled in another scandal beleaguering the current administration. However, now this one involves her department and involves, gosh, who'd have seen this a-coming? Sexual misconduct. Ha ha! As in over another one. Folks, do not allow yourself to become complacent out of the feeling there's nothing you can do. It's difficult, but oh so simple. Just speak up to anyone who will listen and educate them. Now, my co-host teaches a course in true conservatism. It's heard right here six nights a week. Christopher Hart!
That's right. Absolutely right. Thank you so very much there, Blair Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us this evening. It is a wonderful Father's Day afternoon here in Central Florida, and we want to wish a happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there in our listening audience and the ones here in the studio as well. The one here in the studio as well. That would be Blair Adams.
Thank you.
Nostradamus is spending the afternoon watching The Man of Steel with his family, his daughters. He will be here shortly, however. And Carl Jackson is spending time with his family tonight, and he will not be here, but he had a great show yesterday morning. I hope you folks had a chance to listen to it. Don't forget, you can catch Carl Jackson right here every Saturday morning, live from 8 to 9 a.m. And don't forget, yeah, Marshall Polston, the new guy. He's got a show that he does every afternoon from 2 to 3. I caught a little part of it yesterday, and it was really good. I intend to catch the whole thing next time, and I hope you folks will be joining me out there. That's Marshall Polston every Saturday afternoon live on 660 WORL from 2 to 3 p.m. Okay, that's right, folks. We are live, and if you're listening to us on your terrestrial radio, it means you knew to come up here to 1520 because the Tampa Rays post-game show is on 660 WORL right now. It'll be up there for about the next 45 minutes or so. As soon as we do, however, go back up on 660 WORL, we'll let you know. In case you get better reception on that channel than 1520, we want to thank you for doing that. And just remind you, if you have a computer or a smartphone or device, you can bypass all that nonsense by going to 660WORL.com and listening to the live feed. And it does not include the Rays because of Major League Baseball rules. It is not streamed over the Internet. And you can just go to your app store for your smartphone or tablet and download the free 660 WORL app. And I'm Christopher Hart. That scratchy voice you were listening to a little while ago is Lair Adams. We swear it is not an imposter. And also in the studio with me tonight, I have Johnny Guns.
I'm working on my Nostradamus impression.
There you go. We also, you're going to have to work hard on that. we also have with us Tyler Israel.
Hey, it's good to be here. And just on my one note, I'd like to say happy Father's Day to my father.
Ah, excellent. Yeah, happy
to him, too.
Yeah, happy Father's Day, Mr. Israel. And we have Jeff Sinis on the other side of the glass, and we want to wish
I'd like to follow suit on that and wish my father a happy Father's Day as well.
And the same from us, Mr. Sinis. Happy Father's Day to
and
you.
You gentlemen, please tell me what you think of my closing tonight, because, of course, being Father's Day, my closing's about
Father's Day.
Bing, ding, ding, ding. You guys got it.
Okay. All right, so... before we get started, Tyler, please tell folks where they can hear replays of our show, or if they happen to miss the show, go to hear it.
It's just as easy as going to iTunes if you want to type in the American Adversaries Radio, or catch us on Podbean, too. You can find us on there. We got a pretty good archive started. We're uploading our old shows. It's going to look pretty good. Pretty good database information there.
And it's really easy to navigate.
Absolutely.
And you can go to our website as well, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and just hit the appropriate button, and it'll take you right to Podbean.
Now, what's the delay time? I mean, when will tonight's show be on there would you say?
Monday. It should be up to Monday, and every weekday it's uploaded minute.
Actually, Jeff will be loading it up tonight before he goes home.
Awesome. So fantastic.
It'll be up before Mark Walters gets much further than the introduction to his show, which, by the way, folks, Mark Walters comes on live after us every Sunday night from 8 to 11 p.m., and he broadcasts normally from his home base in Atlanta, but he might be anywhere in the country, but he is live, and it's all about the Second Amendment and the gun battle. And it goes on in Congress in Washington, D.C., if you will, and I use that phrase loosely. Tonight, we've got a great show lined up for you, I think. We're going to talk a little bit about immigration. We're going to talk about Gumby. That's my new nickname for Barack Obama. You weren't here last week, Larry, so you didn't hear it, but you can figure out why I'm calling him Gumby now, right?
Well, does that mean Biden is pokey?
I hadn't thought about that.
There's a part of a horse, Chris, that he,
yes, he does resemble the horse's patoot, that's for sure. But Gumby, because he is flexible, remember, as he told Medvedev, the president of Russia. And so we'll be talking about Gumby going to Ireland, as I say, looking for leprechauns, because he might as well be, considering what he's going there to do, at least in part. With the Russians, and that has to do with Syria. And we're also going to talk about what Bill Clinton said about Barack Obama and his Syria policy. We'll do that in the second hour. We have a couple of guests lined up for you tonight. We have Ed Reardon coming in. He's with Honor Flight. Now, we've had a guest from the Honor Flight people on our show before, but I thought it was appropriate for, it's Father's Day. Honor Flight, if you folks aren't familiar, and, of course, Ed's going to tell us a lot more about it and how you can get involved and help out. Honor Flight is an organization that provides day trips. It's a day-long trip, starts early in the morning and ends in the evening, where they take World War II veterans, wherever they are in the country, they load them up on an airplane and take them up to Washington, D.C., or down or across to, whatever the case may be, so that they can see the World War II Memorial. As you know, folks, our World War II vets are getting scarcer and scarcer by the moment. It's something like, it's a couple thousand die every day or something like that. I mean, it's really extraordinary. And so this is
very ancient heroes at this point.
And that it's absolutely right. And here's a way that we can pay our tributes to them in a fine fashion. So Ed Reardon, going to be on here to talk about that. Also, we're going to have back Ed Roxy. We're going to want to welcome Ed Roxy to our list of sponsors. And his product is called Roxy Pacifics. And we're going to be doing a My Roxy giveaway every Sunday night where Ed Roxy gives away a bottle of his product. And it's a skin lotion, if you will. It's basically, and of course, I'll let him tell you more about it, but it's a concentration of kelp in seawater that many people have found to be very effective in all sorts of skin problems, if you will, everything from scarring tissue to dandruff and eczema and shingles even. So
Well, kelp is used for a lot of different things. I mean, it's very beneficial.
Oh, it's an ancient curative, if you will.
He also said something about psoriasis, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yep. So he's going to be on the show, and as I said, the free bottle is going to be given away on our show every Sunday night. So I want to thank and welcome Ed Roxy, and we'll do it formally later on to our sponsors. And Johnny Guns, of course, has some WTF news, and we're looking forward as well to Lair's Close. He's been teasing us a little bit about it around here before the show.
Oh, it has nothing to do with Father's Day, does it?
I wouldn't imagine it would.
No.
I want to start off, however, talking a little bit about immigration. Immigration, this bill is seems to be progressing pretty steadily through Congress, which is atypical considering how dysfunctional Congress and the White House have been over the last, well, since the Republicans took over the House anyway. And but this seems to be marching forward, not just in the Senate, but in the House as well. We have gotten reassurances from John Boehner this past week that he believes he can get a bill through the House, one that will have all the things that will be required to get the necessary Republican votes. And Marco Rubio is marching forward. He seems to be the face man for the Gang of Eight, so-called, in the Senate, and their version of the bill. I want to talk a little bit about the specifics in a second. But first, I want to talk about why. Why is this marching forward with so much, shall we say, bipartisan support, at least seemingly so? Now, on the surface, there's a lot of support, at least in the Senate. They voted this week to open it up for debate. This was by no way a vote on the final bill, simply to debate it on the Senate floor and debate whether they'll have amendments and things like that. Excuse me, that's my phone. I got to turn the sound off here. I just got a text. From Dennis. Master Dennis shall be here shortly. That's appropriate, that one, for him, isn't it?
He just got back from the Shiner's Parade.
In the Senate, let's see, there were 82 senators who voted to bring the bill to the floor. In other words, bring it out where they'll actually debate it now and add or amendments or vote down amendments. The debate process has officially begun with 82 senators. Now, that doesn't mean all 82 of these senators are going to vote for the final bill. First of all, there is no final bill yet. This is just actually the beginning of the end, if you will, of the process of developing the final Senate bill. And amongst the 28 Republicans, many of them have said that, you know, their support was just to get it on the floor, had nothing to do with the final bill. And even several of the 54 Democrats who are voted for this to get this on the floor, even several of them have said that that doesn't mean that they'll vote for the final bill. And it will take 60 votes. Now, however, there seems to be a lot of confidence in people like Marco Rubio that this is going to go forward. But once again, I always ask the question, why? When something seems to be happening out of the ordinary, and as I said, this bipartisan coming together is out of the ordinary in politics as it's been played out over the last few years, why? And so it doesn't take a lot of looking to find out. As a matter of sounds like we're going to the break. We'll get to the question of why when we come back.
That's right. Well, folks, we're going to find out what Chris is talking about here in just a moment because I have my own ideas. I was all set to go up for that. But, you know, frankly, it'd be interesting if we can just get a border built. Mm-hmm. If we just get a fence, something actually physically built, that's one big step. We'll be right back, folks.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
Okay, welcome back, folks. You are listening to The American Adversaries, and it is our Sunday edition, the three-hour tour, as Lair likes to call it around here. And we want to thank you for being with us. If you're listening on 1520, as we said earlier, about another half hour or so, the Rays postgame show will be going on. As soon as it goes off the air and we're back up on 660, we'll make sure to let you know about that. Once again, folks, we are live. If you would like to participate in the conversation, 407-774-8255 is the number. I'm Christopher Hart, along with Lair Adams, Tyler Israel, and Johnny Guns. We're live with you in the studio this evening. Noster Dennis will be here shortly. And Carl Jackson will be back next week. All right.
Taylor Israel sitting in with us, too.
Tyler Israel.
Tyler.
I said Tyler Israel. You thought I was talking about somebody else, I guess. Okay, all right.
Taylor.
The other intern.
There you go. Before the break, I was talking about the immigration thing and how it's progressing through the both houses of Congress, seemingly, at least according to John Boehner and Marco Rubio. And you know, my question is, why is this going forward in this era of such political divisiveness? And the reasons are they've been sort of eking out in other places in the media than you would normally see. In other words, on the Business Channel on TV and places like the Investor's Business Daily and Wall Street Journal, where they're talking about the positive economic impacts of including these people who are, quote unquote, in the shadows into the mainstream of life in here in the United States, in particular its economy.
Oh, that's really going to help unemployment.
Well, that's what the unions say. And by the way, there are many unions who are against this going on. So, you know, there is some unrest in both sides of the aisle, just like there seems to be people who are for this on both sides of the aisle. Once again, that's why I always like to know why, what's going on. And but the reality is this. And I hinted about this the other day on the show. When you look at the entitlement programs going forward, what is one of the main problems that the entitlement programs are facing?
Running out of money.
And why? Because there are more people going on to the entitlement programs that are paying into the entitlement programs.
Oh, kind of like Social Security.
Now, combine that with this article that appeared in Thursday's Wall Street Journal. This is by a fellow by the name of Neil Shah. This is in the Wall Street Journal Thursday. More whites dying than being born. More white Americans are dying than being born for the first time in modern history, suggesting minorities and newcomers will play an important role in fueling the population growth America's recovering economy needs to thrive. Something you must understand about the Ponzi scheme that we call Social Security is you need more and more people to replenish those who are going into the Social Security to take advantage of the program. And what we have had in modern history is a declining number of people paying into the program and an increasing number of people taking out of the program. You combine that with the lower birth rate that we are experiencing here in the United States. And let me read this further.
Now, isn't this kind of symptomatic of actual life itself? I mean, if you're in a population situation where your older population is growing and your younger population, the strength is shrinking, I mean, this is kind of inevitable, isn't it?
Well, first of all, there's one big difference, okay?
Yeah.
And it basically goes back to 1973, I think.
After Johnson.
Abortion. Roe v. Wade. How many people do we think have been aborted since Roe v. Wade? About 50 million? That 50 million, you see, would be out there as part of the economy. That 50 million would be consumers. That 50 million would, yes, be employees. That 50 million would be employers. That 50 million would be out there paying into Social Security that they ain't there now.
And, Chris, they'd be 50 million natural Americans.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. This article goes on to talk about, and you talk, and there is a certain amount of population, let's just say,
dynamics.
In the sense that as a population grows more, we've seen this in terms of modern society and industrial society, that as populations grow more wealthy, they tend to have fewer children.
This is the Japan. This is the stage five economically stable nation.
Yeah, but when you think about it, it sort of makes logical sense because in the early stages of industrialization and in the agricultural society, you needed a lot of kids to help around the farm, to go out and work and bring in money. It's not so much the case today. And now it seems with the kind of economy we have under Obamanomics, to have a kid is more of a liability than an asset. And so that's sort of the cyclical thing that you're talking about, Lair. But this goes further than that. And the numbers are extraordinary. But this goes on to say that the growth rate of the white population has been slowing for years, but the demographers, those are people who predict these things, have been thinking that it would be another 15, maybe 10 or 15 years before the flip started. In other words, before there were more white people dying than being born. And that the population growth is not amongst blacks either, obviously. It is mostly the populations in our country who are producing more than they are dying are the Hispanics and the Asians. And let me just read the final paragraph of this Wall Street Journal article. That means U.S. population growth will depend significantly on immigration. There are now 14 states where the majority of children under 5 are non-white, Mr. Fry said. In 2005, states, including the District of Columbia, had minority tolerant population. In other words, they have got to get these people into the mainstream economy. That's what's behind all this immigration business. It's to get these people to replace basically the 50 million that we have aborted. And not only to get these people to replace them, but to get others to come in as well. Now, I'm not saying that this is a bad idea. On the surface of it, I'm just describing what is behind this immigration bill through moving, as it is moving, pretty seamlessly through both houses of Congress.
The problem is we've seen what immigration can do to countries because of what's happening in Europe. Now, I know we have a caller on right now, but we've talked about this before. So much of this started back with this nonsense about population growth, where whites swallow that pill that, oh my gosh, you could only have two children. If you have more than that, the earth will die in 20 years. We'll be so overpopulated. That nonsense.
Well, you're absolutely right. But I think that what somebody like Marco Rubio might say is that you're arguing about the cow after he's already out of the barn. In other words, we now need these people in our economy. And they need to be there in an above-the-board fashion, not, you know, under the table, as you say, as it said. So that's really what is driving this whole thing. And then you put on top of that the hoopla about the politics. The Republicans need the Latinos to like them. That's a bunch of BS.
Yeah,
because actually Romney didn't do so bad when in historical terms amongst Hispanics.
And if they'd all voted for him, he still wouldn't have won.
Exactly right. You know, so it really gets down. You know, it's always about follow the money. And this is really what it's about. And a lot of states where they need immigrant farming hands and things like that, obviously they're pushing real hard to get this bill
through. Florida, California.
You got it. Let's go to Willie and get his comments. And then I want to make some comments about something Edwin Meese said as he's being reassured by people like Marco Rubio that this bill is not amnesty and all that. But let's go to Willie because
Attorney General Edwin Meese?
That's right. Let's go to Willie because he was around when Reagan passed his amnesty bill. And oh, by the way, Reagan called it an amnesty bill. He didn't lie about it. He knew what it was and he said what it was. So let's go to Willie and see what he wants to say about what Marco Rubio had to say. Thanks, Willie, for calling tonight. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. And I was there too when Reagan in 86 signed that bill.
Yeah.
I think Marco Rubio is grasping at straws. He did the Spanish TV interview last week where he said legalization first and then we'll build the fence. And that didn't go over too good. And then he said the penalties that the people that we're going to legalize, we're going to use that money to build the fence. That's even a worse statement because the U.S. has never used any kind of money, even taxpayer money, to build the fence. So I really believe this immigration bill will maybe pass the Senate, but the House will not even touch it.
Well, we're going to see because John Boehner seems to have it stuck in his craw that he wants an immigration bill passed as well. And I think the same for the same reasons. The same reasons that are motivating people in the Senate are motivating John Boehner. Now, what John Boehner has going against him is that he has about 65, 70, 75 members of the Republican side who would be called Tea Partiers and extremists who are saying, hey, whoa, slow down. Maybe not. This won't happen. The problem is, if he gets enough help from the Democrat side, from Nancy Pelosi, he may not need those 70 or 80. So,
well, Chris, not to interrupt you, I just think this this current bill in its fashion is probably twice as bad as Obamacare.
Oh, I do, too. I do, too. I've said, and if you want to hold you through the break, because we're coming up on the break, but I've said from the start that I didn't like this process. Even if Rubio's motivations are correct, I think he would have done better if he'd have done this a step at a time rather than have this, this huge omnibus bill.
Yeah, and I think the conjunction of both Obamacare and this immigration bill are going to do far worse devastation to our entitlement programs than the current mess we have right now.
Yeah, but guys, just think about this. If the president and the Senate get together, can the House even stop if the president wanted something even worse?
Stay with us.
We'll be right back,
folks. Stay with us.
All right. Well, thank you.
Oh, hey, folks. folks. This is professional wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And I know wrestling. And for the best in political professional wrestling, listen to the American Adversaries on 660 WORL. Tough guy.
Hey, we're back. You're listening to the American Adversaries here this Sunday. We had Willie on the line. Or is Willie still there? Would you like to make another comment?
I'm still here. I'll just make a quick comment. Since 1980, when President Reagan got first elected, the Hispanic participation in the Republican vote has gone down steadily, even after the 86 legalization, if you want to call that, that the bill. And it's steadily going down. I'm not sure what the motives of Speaker Boehner are, but if you bring anywhere from 11 to and the upwards or 20 million people onto the public benefit, we're talking trillions of dollars that this country doesn't have, and it's really frustrating for somebody who files every April the 15th to think, I'm not sure what the motive is of these the people in Congress and in the administration. It seems to me they just want to quickly just bring the financial destruction of this company.
Well, add to that Obamacare.
Well,
yeah.
Tyler wants to respond, and then I'm going to give you what their argument is to that.
Yeah, we were just talking between the break here. One of the problems that we see just through this administration, through past administrations, we keep repeating the same mistake, is that with these amnesty bills, we don't shore up the fact we were literally granting these people who are low-wage workers that are going to benefit from these entitlement programs to here when they don't contribute anything to the machinery of paying for them.
Okay. In response to both of you, Marco Rubio says that is not the case. Now, according to him, in the bill, these people will not be eligible for welfare, or they will not be eligible for Obamacare. That doesn't mean that it would be the same situation they would be in right now, basically, if they had a medical need. They'd go to the emergency room. The emergency room would take care of them, but they would not be under a program like Obamacare. This is what he says that is, by the way, folks, just real quick, and I'm going to let you speak, Willie. Real quickly, though, we just got word. We are now back up on 660 AM. We want to welcome you folks who have been listening to the Rays post-game show, and we hope you'll stick around. We are the American Adversaries. I'm Christopher Hart, along with Lair Adams, Tyler Israel, and Johnny Guns. We're going to be live with you until 8 o'clock. We're talking about immigration right now. We have Willie on the line, and go ahead, Willie.
Yeah, I'll just do a final comment. Really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
This bill is only good for the next numbered Congress, and if the Democrats get the House and retain the Senate, you're going to see exactly what's going to happen. They will be eligible, and they will be, because it's discriminatory, allowed to vote.
Well, that's what I was going to say, and that's what the big guy Rush has been saying. And that is basically, you know, once we start this process, the first thing, you know, the Democrats are going to do is start screaming, you know, we're treating these people like second-class citizens, and that's just not un-American. And we need to get them, you know, the same benefits that we all enjoy and da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Right, politically down the road, it doesn't set you up for...
You have to understand, though, that both, and this is what I'm saying when I said why, and I'm looking at it through their eyes. Okay, you guys are looking at it through our eyes. Okay, I'm trying to help you understand what's going on here. In their eyes, this is the solution to many of their problems right now. Okay, their problems are all financially based. They need more money here, they need more money there, they need more money every doggone where. All right, and their solution is more people paying into the system. And this is their way to bump it up. That's where the way they're looking at it. Okay, we're looking at it in terms of the real costs, all right, which we see coming later on down the line and the political battles that are going to ensue from this. That's not the way they're looking at it right here. And that's why this is being marched pretty well through both houses of Congress. I'm here to tell you, Boehner's working hard behind the scenes. What's going on in the Senate's going on more out in the open. But what's going on with Boehner is going on behind the scenes.
Chris, we have 300 million citizens in this country, and they can't fund the current spending right now. I don't know why 11 or 20 million more, because it's a net deficit. They make money, they pay taxes, but they get more benefits than they pay in taxes. The whole thing is...
Once again, that's what Marco Rubio is saying is not going to happen. Now, what we're saying is the reality of it is eventually it will happen. All right, it may not be in the original bill, but that will be remedied by Democrats in the future. You can rest assured.
Well, this
about
bill
that.
Doesn't cover what is the incentive for an illegal immigrant to want to become a legal or on the pathway to becoming legal if they're going to have to pay taxes and then not receive the entitlements that other citizens are receiving yet.
In the sense that they will have amnesty from the law. They will not have to be worried about being picked up by customs and shipped out of the country. That will be pretty much the loan incentive.
It's called a trade-off.
And there will be many who will not take advantage of it. And this is another flaw in the plan. As Willie said, if they expect to use money from those people to fund the border fence or whatever, a lot of those people are not going to come forward. So,
well, Chris, every bill in the last 40 years that Congress has passed has cost a whole lot of money, and I'll hang up on that one.
That's what I call one of the rules of one of the perverse rules of politics is that it's always more expensive, and it seldom actually goes to solving the problem. And I've got another caller, but I want to just read a little bit of a letter that Ed Meese was the Attorney General in 1985 to 88 in the Reagan administration, and that was when the Reagan administration signed on to amnesty. For illegal immigrants. Let me just read a little bit because Karl Rove, basically in an article that he wrote a few back a week or so ago, and by the way, Ed Meese's article appeared in Friday's Wall Street Journal. His piece is it's actually a letter he wrote, letters to the editor, and Karl Rove had said that, this immigration bill, he's responding to concerns like yours and Willie's. And Karl Rove said, oh, no, this immigration bill, thanks to Marco Rubio, they're not going to be going on the welfare rolls. They're not going to have this. They're not going to have that. But they are going to be paying a fine. And it's not amnesty. And it's not this. And it's not that. And he basically sort of trashed the Reagan bill, saying Reagan's bill was all you had to do was raise your hand and you were made legal. It was the simplest form of amnesty. So that's the setup. And Diane, we'll get to you, so hang on. So this is Ed Meese's response to Karl Rove's article. Karl Rove's recollection of the 1986 Immigration Reform and Control Act is, shall we say, highly selective. That law, he writes, and he quotes now Karl Rove, essentially told those here illegally that if they had arrived in the United States prior to 1982 and wanted to become citizens, simply raise your right hand. Meese goes on to say. He asserts that the Gang of Eight bill is different because it has plenty of penalties and hurdles for those here illegally who seek citizenship. Well, I was there in 86. I read that bill carefully, and then in parentheses he says, we did that back then. And I can tell you that Mr. Rose's blithe description of the bill is way off the mark. The 1986 Act didn't turn illegal immigrants into citizens on the spot. It granted, and all this is going to sound very familiar if you're familiar at all with Rubio's bill, it granted temporary resident status only to those who could prove that they had resided continuously in America for 5 years. After 18 months, their status could be upgraded to permanent residency, and only after another 5 years could they become U.S. citizens. So it is essentially the same. This is my comment now. This is essentially the same idea, only Rubio has longer time periods. Okay? Instead of the 5 years, it's 10 or 13. All right? Let me continue now with Ed Meese's letter. But advancement to citizenship was not automatic. Immigrants had to satisfy various requirements along the way. They had to pay application fees, learn to speak English, understand American civics, pass a medical exam, and register for military selective service. Back then, you had to register for the draft. Well, you still do.
Oh, yeah.
Those with convictions for a felony or three misdemeanors were ineligible. And Meese goes on to say, sound familiar? It's pretty much the same penalties and hurdles set forth by the Gang of Eight. Today, they call it a roadmap to citizenship. Ronald Reagan called it amnesty. Let me see. The 86 reform bill also had supposedly rigorous border security and immigration law enforcement provisions. So how did that pan out? On the day Reagan signed comprehensive reform into law, only one thing changed. Millions of unlawful immigrants gained legal status. The promised crackdown on security enforcement never happened. Only amnesty prevailed. And he goes on to say, since 86, the number of illegal immigrants, in other words, the 86 law was supposed to solve the illegal immigration problem like this one's supposed to. Mm-hmm. Since the 86 law, illegal immigrants has quadrupled. That should teach Congress a very important lesson. Amnesty bends the rule of law, and bending the rule of law to a comprehensive deal winds up provoking wholesale breaking of the law. Ultimately encourages millions more to risk entering the country illegally in the hope that one day they too might receive amnesty. On legislation as important as this, lawmakers must not only take the time to read the bill, but to not to rely on others' characterizations of it. He says we can't pass another bill simply to find out what's in it.
Touché, Karl Rove.
Well, he's putting it to Karl Rove.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, because he's saying, hey, what they're doing now is just what we did back in 1986. You know, as I said, the length of the years is different, but it's the same exact approach. Give us a couple more minutes, Jeff, this segment, so we can go to Diane now from Apopka. Diane, thank you for calling, and your comments, please, tonight.
I'm steaming mad.
Why is that?
Uh-oh. This immigration bill is going to ruin us.
Well, it's certainly not going to solve the problem.
I think it'll exacerbate it.
And it's a very big possibility. That's absolutely right. That's what both of you are saying. And that's, you know, that falls in line with the perverse rules of politics.
And I know the cops out in Colorado, they can't even call ICE. ICE doesn't even want to hear from them when they pick up illegals. They don't want to know about it.
Well, that's under the present situation, and that is true, that ICE doesn't work very well with local authorities. But what is also true is that Barack Obama has deported more illegal immigrants than George W. Bush did. But you're absolutely right that there is not cooperation where there should be cooperation.
They want the rule of law. There is no rule of law anymore.
Well, that's what Ed Meese is saying. And he's saying, you know, let's be realistic about this. Let's don't try to candy coat it, which is what Karl Rove was trying to do. And to be honest with you, I think is a little bit what Marco Rubio is trying to do.
And he is really on my last nerve.
Well, I think that he is. I've said this on the show before, when this immigration thing was really started to gear up here a couple of months ago, that he is way out on a limb. He's got his neck stretched out as far as it can be, and there's a lot of people around with hatchets and machetes who just love nothing more than to cut it right in half. And,
well, Laura Ingraham had him on in the morning anyway, yeah. And she called him out on it. And he couldn't do enough to get off the air without telling anything.
Yeah, it's
he's lying.
It's disappointing. And just on a side note, we have reached out to Marco Rubio on more than one occasion.
You won't hear from him.
And no, we don't. And so, you know, I think it's an opportunity lost because we're the people who need convincing, not the people who already believe in what he's doing. And so... we'll see where his political career goes from here. But as I said, it's a huge risk, politically speaking, for him and policy-wise speaking for the rest of us. So thank you to Diane. We appreciate your calls and your comment out there. And don't get too steamed.
Really?
Okay. All right. as I said, you know, it's not a done deal yet. I'm just talking about why it's gotten as far as it has gotten in this atmosphere in Washington, D.C., let's go to Peter now from Orlando. Peter, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being out there as well. Thank you.
Yeah, this is Peter with the Eastside Tea Party. I just wanted to mention that we're actually organizing a bus trip to go up to D.C. on to rally on the 15th of this month. So, up July.
I was going to say the 15th of this month.
Thanks for the early warning.
July the 15th. Okay, what do people have to do if they want to get on the bus?
I can give you an email address to send your interest to. It's Rita, R-I-T-A, at eastsideteaparty.org.
Rita at eastsideteaparty.org.
Right.
Okay, and you spell it Eastside, you spell all that out.
Yeah, Eastside Tea Party is all one word, technically.
And do you have a specific message, or?
Well, it's just, you know, we're
just an all-encompassing type of deal.
This is the immigration, it's bad for America. It has nothing to do with, not liking Hispanics or whatever. It's all about respecting the rule of law. And if they don't respect our rule of law, that as a non-citizen, and they're probably not going to respect our rule of law as a citizen.
Being a Tea Party organizer, do you think that Marco Rubio's made a political mistake in going for a comprehensive bill? Do you think it would have been smarter for him to just start off trying to get border security and work on from there?
you know what? They always like to make things really difficult. I mean, we all know that Rubio is eyeing the presidency, and of course, the Republican establishment wants him to have that role as well. You know, we've got Rand Paul, we've got Rubio, and then we've got Chris Christie. My fear is that because of the damage that Rubio is doing now with this bill, that it will split the conservatives between Rand Paul and him, and we'll end up with Chris Christie.
Oh, that'd be sad. You know, that reminds me, I was watching this morning, and a lot of the talk shows, you know, all the pundits are saying the Republicans have a deep bench. I don't think so. I don't think the Republicans have a deep bench at all. When I look around, I see one or two faces of the Republicans that I would say are really, really good presidential material. Ted Cruz is one, and I'd be hard-pressed to tell you who the other one is.
We'll see who comes out of the woodwork coming closer to the election season.
Yeah. Sure. Hey, Peter, thanks again. And once again, we'll have you come back on, and we'll talk about this bus trip. That's going to be July the 15th, folks, to Washington, D.C., rally in support of the Tea Party values and against an immigration bill that doesn't solve the problem. If you want to find out more, email Rita, that's R-I-T-A, Rita at eastsideteaparty.org.
And there's
okay, all right, we appreciate you, Peter. Thanks for being out there. Okay, we're going to go ahead and take another break now, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this, and then we're going to start talking about Gumby. That's President Obama, if you didn't know. Gumby going to Ireland tomorrow.
Folks, I used to watch Gumby, and I remember that show fondly. It's one of the stupidest things I ever saw, even as a kid. Oh, well.
I had a Gumby toy. Didn't you have one?
And Pokey, yes.
Everybody
yes.
had one.
I had
and
one.
You never chewed the guy up. You never chewed up Gumby. For the American adversaries, we just chew up liberals.
Back from the dressing room to restretch their tights. Here are the champions of political professional wrestling, the American Adversary on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
Okay, folks, that's right. We are back up on 660 WORL. We want to thank all you folks who went up the dial to 1520. And if you're still listening on 1520, please don't feel the need to switch back to 660 unless you want to. But you folks who have been listening to the Rays postgame show, once again, welcome to our show. You are listening to the American Adversaries. If it's the first time you've ever heard us, we hope you'll stick around for a little while and see if you don't like what we do as well. And by the way, if you're a Rays fan, don't forget, every Wednesday we have a Rays family four-pack of tickets to give away to a Rays home game. And we'll throw in an autographed baseball from the Rays to go along with it. That's every Wednesday. All you have to do is listen to our show on Wednesday. We do a live show Monday through Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. Lair and I do, along with Nostra Dennis. We call it American Adversaries Drive Time. And all you have to do is listen on Wednesday and hear a Rays highlight play. When you hear that play, you call in. And if you're the right caller, you get that family four-pack of tickets. We've already given away 2 4-packs, and we've got a lot more to go.
That's right, and that would be a great post Father's Day gift,
oh,
folks.
Yeah, one of my most cherished memories of my dad is riding in the car, waiting on my mom for something, or my brother, and we'd be sitting in the car listening to the Atlanta Braves on a scratchy AM radio signal, listening to the Atlanta Braves play baseball, because back then there were no Miami Marlins or Florida Marlins or Tampa Rays or anything. There wasn't even, there was just barely the Miami Dolphins.
There was barely TV.
Yeah, Ernie Johnson and Milo Hamilton called the games. And back then, you know, Hank Aaron and Orlando Cepeda, Rico Carty. It was a great era of baseball. And I really cherish those memories, my dad and I sitting in the car listening to those games. Okay, we have been talking about immigration. And if you'd like to call in, once again, the number is 407-774-8255. We really still don't know exactly what is in the bill. Marco Rubio keeps assuring all of our concerns have been addressed. One of the loose ends that I believe you said, Tyler, that he said on a show this morning, it's how close to being done. Or did you say that, Johnny?
96%.
I'm sorry, Johnny. It was 96%. In other words, he's saying that there's only 4% left to go, and then they've got a bill ready to pass. And that 4% has to do with border security. We're always comes back to square one.
Yep.
Which is why I say they should have just done this first. Now, he's addressed my concern. He says, no, we couldn't do it piecemeal. It would have been an even worse process, and there would have been even more, you know, and this and that and the other.
But these encompassing bills, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And as Ed Meese says, you know, they back in those days, they did read the bills. The problem is a lot of the bills that are written today, a lot of the language is purposely left out and left up to government regulators to fill in later. That's what we're going on right now with Obamacare and the Dodd-Frank Financial Act. You know, the Dodd-Frank Financial Control Act, or whatever in the world they call it, was supposed to save us from big banks being too big and the economy collapsing and all that nonsense. Not only did it not do any of those things, it has yet to meet, I believe, even one deadline for new regulations that it was supposed to come up with. They have yet, for instance, to implement the Volcker Rule. And the Volcker Rule was supposed to be this big, huge part of the plan.
Well, Chris,
it's ridiculous.
I thought Homeland Security years ago was supposed to build a border fence to keep us safe.
Exactly.
Had the funding there.
Well, and that's what Ed Meese said about the 1986 bill. It was in the 1986 bill. And as soon as Reagan signed it, well, nobody talked about that anymore for a long time, did they?
Total sections, the Rio Grande, just sitting, you walk right from Mexico to the U.S.
Right. And by the way, the Republicans did show some gains, and I meant to mention this when Willie was on the air. I'm sure you're still listening, Willie, but the Republicans did show some, and you're right, the trend since Reagan has been down. In other words, Hispanic voting for conservatives has been going down since Ronald Reagan, with the exception of George W. Bush, when it did tick up a little bit. And so the Hispanics, they can be swayed. You just got to go out there and work it. And then when you hear other Republicans saying, oh, we got to pass this bill so that, you know, Hispanics literally don't hate us anymore. I mean, when you hear that kind of nonsense, you got to wonder, do these guys really understand conservatism? Because if they understood conservatism, it's the conservative argument that wins, not all this political...
Not doing what it takes to win.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't do things for people. You do things because they want them to... I don't know how to explain that at the moment, but it's just the politicians today are so disconnected from what the plight of the people is, and this immigration is the latest manifestation of it.
Yeah.
It's just... It's a complete... It's going downhill.
Well, as I said, though, the way they see it is they see it as a panacea. They see it as a solution to many of our economic problems.
Which is why when we have a conservative voice, we can't find any voice in Congress that reflects our own opinions.
Well, there are very few and very far between. That's why I say the Republicans, in my opinion, do not have a very deep bench going forward. The media would love to have us think so, because the what they call the deep bench is a bunch of Republican establishment types who are basically going to be set up to lose, which is probably what's happening to Marco Rubio right now. Okay, folks, we've got to go to another break. We can't move it because it's a hard break, a news break, but we will come right back.
We are the American Adversaries, Sunday through Friday. Sunday nights, 5 to 8 o'clock. Monday through Friday, 5 to 6. Almost forgot when I'm on.
When we come back, right. Gumby.
That's right. Oh, we're going to talk with Gumby?
We're going to talk about Gumby.
We're going to talk about Gumby.
Gumby and Pokey, right?
Well, something to chew on, folks. We'll be right back.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
That's right, folks, and we're feeling pretty good around here, except for maybe Lair, who's dealing with an allergy thing. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries in the second of our three-hour tour that we take here every Sunday night starting at 5 o'clock. Once again, if you tuned in at 5 and didn't find us on 660 tonight, I hope you remembered to go up the dial to 1520. Anytime that you tune in during our show times, be it on Sunday or during the week, and you find a Rays game or Rays post game or pregame going, simply go up the dial to 1520, and you'll find us up there unless it's a holiday. Then we'll tell you ahead of time if we're going to take that day off. But once again, thank you for listening to our show. I want to thank all you listeners who are up there on 1520 and all you folks who listen to us out there streaming over the internet. And once again, you folks can do that, and you don't have to worry about going up and down the dial. If you go to 660WORL.com, all the live talk programming does broadcast there regardless of the Rays schedule. In the last hour, we spent most of the hour talking about immigration, and Johnny Guns, I pointed out that one of our callers, Willie, had said that since Ronald Reagan, the numbers of Hispanics voting for Republicans has been declining, and there was one year or a couple of years where it did tick back up, and that was during George W. Bush's elections. And Johnny, give us the numbers on those, please.
In 2004, the number of Latino voters for George W. Bush, or at least the percentage, was 40%. That's the highest it had been since these numbers were recorded going back to 1980. Reagan's highest total was 37% back in 1984.
Does it say what W. got in 08? You said 2004?
2004, yeah. George W. had 40%.
What did he get in 2000?
In 2000, 35%.
Yeah. And see, one of the reasons why is because he could speak a little bit of the language, and he actually went out to the Hispanic communities and tried to get their votes. Yeah. I know that seems like an odd, strange idea to most Republicans, but he actually went out there and courted them.
And he was a governor in Texas, and he was popular with Hispanics there.
That's right. Now, obviously, he had his own immigration bill. That was a comprehensive package, but that wasn't until after the 2004 election. I don't recall it being a big issue in 2004. Seems to me the big issue in 2004 was the Iraq War with John Kerry and all that business. And then, you know, if you were listening to the news break, just this last news break between the last hour and this hour right here, we heard Lindsey Graham saying, you know, it's doomsday for Republicans if we don't pass this bill. No, it's not. Who knows? If you listen to other people, it may be doomsday for Republicans if you do pass the bill.
Well, it could be doomsday for Lindsey Graham, and who cares?
And I tell you, I was not impressed with Marco Rubio today when he was on This Week. He was on the Georgie Stephanopoulos show, and there was another fellow sitting in for Georgie on ABC. And the other fellow was showing Rubio some of the criticism he's gotten from other radio hosts, not us, but the likes of Glenn Beck and others. And one of the other radio hosts said that he was being played by Chuck Schumer. And I think we all know what that means. He's being played for a fool. He's being set up, however you want to say it. But when Rubio was asked about that, he said, "Oh, look, I don't even know what being played means." You know, if you don't, Mr. Rubio, you're in the wrong business, buddy. You know, so, you know, that's part of politics, is playing, getting played, playing the other side. You got to be a player, or get out of business, you know. So, you know, don't be disingenuous. And I keep thinking if Marco Rubio is one of our top guns in the Democratic in the Republican stable, we got problems.
Hey, if you don't know the game, your chances are you're probably getting played.
All right. Somebody who does know how to play the game, otherwise he wouldn't have gotten himself elected president twice, is Gumby. For you folks who weren't listening to our show last week, I have tagged Barack Obama with the nickname Gumby because of his willingness to be so flexible, at least when it comes to the Russians. And Gumby this week is going to Ireland looking for leprechauns. And what do I mean by that? I mean that he might as well be looking for leprechauns in a pot of gold, because he's going to have about as much luck getting that as what he's going to get out of the Russians. Okay? And it has to do with Syria. Syria, I don't know if you've been paying attention, folks. We have around here. We may not talk about it, but we're watching it. But Syria is gotten that the tide has turned in Syria. The rebels had been getting some gains, have been making gains over the past year or so. Well, that has been reversed over the last few weeks, in large part thanks to Hezbollah, who are Muslims who came into Syria to help Assad turn back the rebels. And they were deployed, if you will, into Syria by Iran. Iran has now announced over the last couple of days, perhaps in response to Barack Obama's change in his position on Syria, I'll get to that in a minute, Iran has announced that they are going to send 4,000 Revolutionary Guard members, troops, if you will, into, these are the elite forces. These are the guards who guard the likes of Khomeini and Ahmadinejad, who, by the way, he's on the outs. His term was up, and they just elected a new president.
A new one, yes.
Yeah, who is a quote-unquote a moderate, but he is a Muslim cleric, and he is very close to Khomeini, or whatever the Ayatollah's name is over there.
Khomeini, I think.
It's not Khomeini like the 79 guy, but it's very close. Anyway, so Iran has upped the ante, and they, along with the Russians, they have given Assad the boost that he needed to turn the tide on the rebels. And all along, Barack Obama has been very reluctant to supply weapons to the rebels. And in this case, I would say, and he has a right to be reluctant, because the rebels who are fighting against Assad are mostly al-Qaeda types. At least those are the ones who are fighting effectively. It's a whole crowd of people who are fighting against Assad, but the ones who are actually pretty good fighters are al-Qaeda types. And I've talked about this on the show, and I cannot emphasize this enough, and I'll get to some evidence to back this up, but what is going on in Syria is a Muslim civil war. It is not a Syrian civil war as much as it is an Islamic civil war. And it goes back to the feud that goes all the way back to the day Muhammad died. When the day Muhammad died, all the others looked around at themselves and said, okay, now which one of us is going to be boss? All right. And it basically deteriorated into two factions. And the two factions were people who were his cousins, and they went on to become the Shia Muslims. And there were also the people who were his main lieutenants, and they split off and became the Sunni Muslims. And ever since, Sunni and Shia Muslims have been in a all out to the death feud with one another. And that is what is being played out in Syria. And we can see that in how the two sides have taken shape. Hezbollah and Iran are Shia Muslims. Assad is a Shia Muslim. The Syrian government is a Shia government. That is why Iran and Hezbollah are propping up Assad. All right? The Al-Qaeda are Sunni Muslims. And Sunni Muslims are fighting the Shia Muslims in Syria. All right? Now, Egypt has now come out and said that they will side with the Sunni Muslims. And the reason is Mohammed Morsi, the Muslims who run Egypt, are Sunni. All right? So what is going on in Syria has to do with an overall civil war that is going on in the Islamic community, in the Islamic religion. What has happened with President Obama is that he, by leading from behind, finds himself now pretty much getting left behind. Because with the Iranians, with the Russians, and with Hezbollah siding with Assad, Assad now is more firmly entrenched than he has been since this began. And the problem we have now is, and Andrea Mitchell, of all people, pointed this out this morning on NBC News, is that we now find ourselves at war with Iran in Syria. And the only question is,
Andrea came up with that?
The only question is, how is this war going to be fought? Now, up until now, Barack Obama has chosen to just allow our Arab allies to provide the Sunni Muslims, including al-Qaeda, with weaponry. Now he has decided, and he's using this excuse, which basically he put himself in this box, and then you just sort of set it aside until it was now convenient to use it. And the reason it's convenient to use it is if he doesn't do something right now, Assad's going to win this thing, and either Assad's going to be firmly back entrenched in power of the whole country, or the country will be subdivided into several parts. All right, and al-Qaeda will control one of the parts. So he now finds himself where he has to do something. And even the likes of Bill Clinton know this. Let me tell you what Bill Clinton said this past week about Barack Obama and his serious policy. This came out in the weekend edition of the Wall Street Journal. And it was also reported originally by Politico. Politico says that in a private meeting, Bill Clinton was quoted by Politico in a private meeting as saying that Mr. Obama risked looking like a wuss and a fool for failing to act in Syria. Then he went on to say that public opinion would not support what President Obama needed to do. So I guess now we know why President Obama didn't do it. But even if the likes of Bill Clinton can say that the rest of the world is going to see you as a wuss, yes, Mr. Obama,
we're going to see you as a wuss.
The problem is, for Mr. Obama, is now it may be very too little, too late. Yep. And when I get to our Who Said That quote here in the... I think I'll just do it here. All right, we're coming up on the break. When we get back in the next segment...
Do the quote then, yeah.
I'm going to do the Who Said That quote, because it fits right in with all of this. All right? And folks, stick around. When we get back, we're going to do our Who Said That contest. And you know that the rules are easy. I read a quote. You simply call us in at 407-774-8255 to tell us who said it. And I'm going to ask you if you've won anything recently to stand aside and let somebody else get in here and get in on the good stuff. So... when we get back, we'll do the Who Said That quote, and then I'll continue this little bit of conversation about what's going on in Syria and how leading from behind has gotten Mr. Obama left behind.
We are the American Adversaries. We won't leave you behind. Happy Father's Day, Central Florida. We are the best in political professional wrestling, and tonight we're wrestling with all you conservative dads out there. Join us, and we'll be right back.
The American Adversaries, where you and the president can wrestle for the truth.
We're still in this wrestling match with
Blair Adams
and
Christopher Hart, the American Adversary on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
That's right, folks. It is the American Adversaries Classic. That's the Sunday night edition. Nostra Dennis here, having just huffed and puffed into the studio after seeing a movie. My wife and my girls took me out to see Man of Steel. It was really good.
Was it?
It was really good. There was a lot of stuff, you know, blowing up and people throwing people around, but I got one political message out of it.
What?
It's a real serious message, too. I mean, it's fun. It's entertaining. He's a superhero.
Without giving anything away. Without giving anything away,
good must be able to identify evil and must be willing to defeat evil in order to survive. That's all.
Hopefully Barack Obama will watch the movie.
I hope so.
Yeah, and quit all this nonsense about not wanting to call Islamic terrorism Islamic terrorism.
And there's something else I know.
What's that?
It's time for the Who Said That part of our show.
Who said that?
Where Chris gives us a quote from history. Could be ancient, could be recent. And he asks us to call us up at 407-774-8255 and tell us who said that.
That's right, folks. And this portion of our show is brought to you by Cafe Positano, the finest Italian restaurant in all of Central Florida, run by our great friend Pasquale Barba and his brother Roberto. And I was over there the other night, and I want to thank Joe and his family for coming in and having dinner. And it was great to see you there, and I had a great time talking to you and meeting you. And Tim was with us Thursday night when we went over there.
Absolutely. Folks, you can still take Dad out for Father's Day tonight.
That's right.
You can probably get in there. They're going to be crowded, but go ahead and head on down there because you can't think of a... You can't imagine a better place to take Dad for Father's
there
Day.
There are about 4 miles west of I-4 on State Road 436, just on the east side of Apopka. And if you don't know how to get there, give them a call at 407-774-8080. They do take reservations. Obviously, it may be a little late for tonight, but for another occasion, they do take reservations, and they do have room for banquets and meetings. 407-774-8080. And that's Lair drinking his tea that
Sorry
he brought
that.
Here from the Cafe Positano. Okay, folks,
it is
time for our Who Said That contest, and the prizes include a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano and an American Adversaries T-shirt, so make sure you tell our call screener, Jeff Sinis, your shirt size if you happen to win. And once again, if you've won something recently, please let somebody else get in on this one. And the reason I'm using this is, and I'll explain after I read the quote. Who said, and I quote, "Experience teaches us that it is much easier to prevent an enemy from posting themselves than it is to dislodge them after they have got possession." Let me read that again. "Experience teaches us that it is much easier to prevent an enemy from posting themselves than it is to dislodge them after they have got possession. If you think you know who said that, give us a call at 407-774-8255. If you're the first caller and you get it wrong and nobody gets it right, we'll declare the first caller the winner. Who said, experience teaches us that it is much easier to prevent an enemy from posting themselves than it is to dislodge them after they have got possession.
Well, I never post anything on the internet. Do you guys?
Okay, all right.
Oh, okay.
In military terms, that means taking ground or taking a position. And why do I bring this up tonight? Why do I use this quote? Because it has everything to do with Syria. Barack Obama has been leading from behind, and now he has gotten left behind. And what I mean by that is the Iranians and the Russians have taken control in the Eastern Mediterranean region, and Syria is included in that. And it is going to be much more difficult now to do anything about the situation in Syria because Russia is firmly, firmly in control. Now, Gumby is going to Northern Ireland tomorrow and Tuesday for the G8 summit. And as part of that meeting, he's going to have supposedly a sit-down face-to-face talk with Vladimir Putin. And this is the guy that he assured Medvedev, mm-hmm. the president, that he would be more flexible with. In other words, Gumby, Barack Obama, would be more flexible with Vladimir Putin after the last election, after he defeated Mitt Romney and got all that nasty business of election out of the way.
Is this tour the most expensive tour up to this point?
No, you're talking about something else. Oh, we'll talk about that later on. You're talking about a trip to Africa they're getting ready to take.
Yeah.
Okay, that's coming up. That's not this. This G8 summit is tomorrow and Tuesday. Barack Obama will be there, and part of what he's going to do, along with John Kerry, presumably, is try to talk Vladimir Putin into getting Bashar Assad to leave Syria. In other words, now that they have gotten their guy on the verge of victory, Mr. Obama thinks that he can go over there and talk them into kicking their guy out. And even if they did, and I have not heard one person, not one person who has said, and this is on both sides of the aisle, and this includes John McCain. And by the way, Bill Clinton said he agreed with John McCain on this. I have not heard one person say what we're going to do after Assad is gone. Right? Have we not learned a lesson from Egypt? Have we not learned a lesson from Libya? That is, it's only half the problem when you get rid of the dictator.
Iraq?
No, it's different in Iraq. And it's different in Afghanistan because we put boots on the ground and we installed a brand new government and instituted elections. No, it is very different.
Are we committing to that now?
No, and that's part of the problem. Don't you understand? Mm-hmm. That is part of the problem. You cannot do this halfway. Russia has already basically laid claim to Syria. And Mr. Obama thinks he's going to go over there and talk him out of it. That's why I say Gumby might as well be over there looking for leprechauns and pots of gold, because he's going to have much success coming back with that as he is talking Mr. Putin out of pulling out of Syria via getting Bashar Assad to resign or go off somewhere.
Well, let me ask you this. What's in this for Putin? What does Barack offer?
He ain't got nothing to offer.
He doesn't have anything to offer.
That's the point.
He's not going there with anything to negotiate
with.
That's
the point. And you see, the one thing that Barack Obama has so very, very little of is the very first word in tonight's Who Said That quote. Let me read it again. Experience teaches us that it is much easier to prevent an enemy from posting themselves than it is to dislodge them after they have got possession. Barack Obama has got no experience in anything but raising people's hackles. That's why he never knew what to do. That's why he can be, as Bill Clinton said, seen as a wuss and a fool for failing to act in Syria. And now he thinks he's going to come in when the battle is basically now lost. And he's going to turn the tide? And what they're talking about giving these Syrian rebels, they're basically talking about giving them some AK-47s and some anti-tank rockets. Ain't going to do the trick. Even the Syrian rebels who would be the benefit of these weapons say that is way too little, way too late. And so by leading from behind, he now finds himself stuck behind everybody else, and namely the Russians, the Iranians, and Hezbollah. And once he does wade into this conflict by giving them weapons, he is basically now committing himself to a war with Iran, Syria, Russia, and Hezbollah. The only problem is, and even the liberals this morning were seeing this, he's setting himself up for failure. He would be better off not giving them any weapons because he's going to give them so little as that they're still going to get their tails kicked. And Mr. Obama's going to be even further behind the eight ball. We have said this on this show over and over and over again. We may not like it, but we are the world's superpower. And along with that comes the responsibility to use that power wisely, to use that power wisely. And when we choose not to do so, the bad guys are more than willing to step up and do it for us. And that's exactly what's happened in Syria, and we got a huge mess over there right now. What would have been the best if he was going to go down this road would have been to do what John McCain said from the beginning, and that would have been arming these rebels all along. That would have been the smart thing to do if you're going to do this at all. You don't wait till the end to do it. But that's because he has no experience, he has no knowledge, and he doesn't have a plan. That's why he leads from behind. All right, let's go to Tim. Tim, you only have about a minute, but please, what's your guess?
I think it's Chelsea Clinton, because after all, she came out with some resolving quotes this week by saying that she supports her mother for president because it's about time there's a woman in the White House.
Well, you're not even close with Chelsea Clinton.
It's about time we had someone competent in the White House.
I appreciate what you're saying, and that's a whole other subject that we'll be talking a lot more on over the next few coming weeks. Hillary running for president and the whole setup to that. But no, it was not Hillary Clinton who said, "Experience teaches us that it is much easier to prevent an enemy from posting themselves than it is to dislodge them after they have got possession." Mr. Obama, wish you'd have known that long time ago.
Yeah, and it was not Chelsea Clinton. And like you said, no.
All right.
Even with
thanks, Tim, for calling.
That's right. Hey, Tim, we'll see you at Cafe Positano's. Folks, we'll be right back.
More political mayhem is on the way. You're listening to The American Adversaries on 660 WORL. If you can take it.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the show. You are listening to The American Adversaries. We're halfway through our Sunday night three-hour tour. We want to thank you for being with us on this beautiful Sunday afternoon. And happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there in the audience and those of you in the studio here as well. And folks, once again, you can call in at 407-774-8255 if you know the answer to our Who Said That contest. And I'll read the quote here and again in just a moment. That's 407-774-8255. If you know who said this right here, call us up and tell us, and I'll give you a hint after I read the quote. Experience teaches us that it is much easier to prevent an enemy from posting themselves than it is to dislodge them after they have got possession. Now, I'm saying this because Barack Obama thinks he's going to go over there and talk the Russians out of what they're doing in Syria. No, they're already entrenched. It's going to be real hard to get them out of that situation. The person who said this is a general, all right, in American history, general. A general said, experience teaches us that it is much easier to prevent an enemy from posting themselves than it is to dislodge them after they have got possession. If you want to make a guess, 407-774-8255 is the number. I'm Christopher Hart, and along with Lair Adams and Nostra Dennis, we want to welcome a couple of guests to our studio right now. We've had someone from this group on before, although I don't believe it was either one of these gentlemen. We have in the studio with us tonight Ed Reardon. He is the marketing director for Honor Flight, and also Alan Wilson, who is the chairman of the Central Florida Honor Flight. Welcome to our show tonight, gentlemen.
Well, thanks.
Thanks very much.
Okay. First of all, let me just go through some basics. You have been someone for your organization has been on our show before. Real quickly, though, please tell our listeners, in case they don't know, Alan, we'll start with you. What's Honor Flight? What's it all about?
Well, Honor Flight, fairly simple. It's a charitable organization, 501c3, all that tax stuff. But basically, we have a single mission, and that mission is to take our senior veterans to Washington, D.C. to visit and reflect at their memorials. And they can go. They don't have to provide us with lots and lots of information. They just need to sign up, send in an application. We'll take them.
So if they're a veteran of which wars are you concentrating on?
Well, we have a priority. We take terminally ill veterans first, World War II veterans next, Korean War veterans, and so on.
So a terminally ill Vietnam veteran you would take?
Absolutely. And in fact, they go to the head of the line.
I see. Ed, let me ask you this. When is the next flight coming up?
Our next flight will actually be next Saturday, June 22nd, where we have a mix of 25 World War II and Korean War veterans, along with 25 personal guardians and five folks on staff that'll travel up to D.C. to see the World War II Memorial, the Korean War Memorial, the Vietnam Wall, and they'll get over to Arlington National Cemetery to see the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
And that's this coming Saturday.
That's this coming Saturday, January 22nd.
And will that flight leave and arrive back at Orlando International or Sanford or which airport?
This flight is out of Orlando International Airport, and we leave about 5 a.m. in the morning. We're heading through security. It's a long day for our veterans and a long day for our staff and guardians. We arrive back in, I think it's a little bit after 9 o'clock on Saturday evening, if I'm not mistaken, Alan. And we always love for the public to turn out and give them a hero's welcome home.
And that will be next Saturday evening, folks. If you like, you can go out to the Orlando International Airport. And which concourse would that be? Do we know?
Yeah, that's on the...
The returning flights, but I mean, which airline? I mean, what I meant to ask.
Yeah, it would be as if you were going to welcome home somebody from Southwest or AirTran.
There you go, Southwest or AirTran. Next Saturday evening, if you'd like to go out to the Orlando International Airport and greet these wonderful veterans back, it would be a great thing to do. It's a great thing that Honor Flight provides this service, but it's also great that they are recognized along with the veterans for what they're doing there.
Absolutely. Now, gentlemen, this program has been going on for some time, and you have support from a lot of different areas, a lot of different people. And you talked about during the break the different airlines that are helping you out. Are there any in specific you guys would like to thank and point out?
Oh, we can start at the top. I mean, first of all, we have to thank all of the guardians that go along with us, because these are people, some of them are family members of the veterans, but... Some of them
all are volunteers, right?
They're all volunteers. They're just people from the community like you and me and anybody else. And they say, gosh, this would be great to go with them. These people pay their own way. We're happy to say we're not like a lot of charities. We put about 97% of everything that we take in into putting those veterans' butts in seats. Everybody else, there's no paid staff. Everybody volunteers. Southwest Airlines helps us, AirTran helps us, some of the local companies help us, and people like the Bond Foundation.
And do individuals help as well? I mean, in other words, how can our listeners help if they would like to?
We can't do our mission without donations from private donors and from foundations who want to support us and from guardians who wish to support us. Whether it's we're happy to take all the help that we can get. Smallest donations are most welcome. And we can't conduct our mission flights.
What's the website?
Our website is honorflightcentralflorida.org. That's honorflightcentralflorida.org. Or we can be reached by telephone at 407-203-7010.
Now, guys, I'm looking at a picture you brought in the studio, and this, I wish this were TV tonight, because this is just amazing. It's 25 veterans, 25 guardians, a whole bunch of staff, and what memorial is that they're standing in front of?
Well, this group is situated right in front of the World War II Memorial, which unfortunately was not finished until 2004, and that's why we're on mission critical right now, Mr. Dennis, to send these veterans while we still have them. There's about 10,000 World War II veterans in Central Florida. And Florida, actually, there's more World War II veterans in the state of Florida than anywhere else in the country. We're losing them at the rate of about 800 a day. Mm. And so it's important to us to be able to take them now while we have them.
Now, do all the veterans see all the memorials, or do they only go to the ones that are specific to the wars they fought?
All the veterans will get to see all of the memorials. The trip is set up in such a way that they all get to visit the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and see the changing of the guard. They'll also get to go to the World War II Memorial. We happen to take our group picture at the World War II Memorial from the Pacific Pavilion. It's a great shot, and that's actually a picture of the World War II Memorial behind our group there. And from there, they can break up in pairs and go visit the Korean War Memorial and the Vietnam Wall before we hustle them in the bus and head on back to Baltimore International Airport.
Ed, let me ask you a question now. Are you able to get any of the veterans, the VA or the VFW, are you able to get them to help locate some of these people in the nursing homes and assisted living homes they're in so they can get this information, or are they kind of keeping you at hand's length?
You know, that's a great question, and I'm charged with outreach. And just last Friday, we went up to Sterling Retirement Home up in Deltona, where we got to spend Flag Day with a large group of retirees, many of whom are World War II veterans. Mm-hmm. And so we do personal outreach to speak to them, tell them about what it is that we do and how we'd like to honor them for the service that they honored us with. And we hope to sign them up to come on future trips and let them know that we don't want a thing from them other than an opportunity to honor them for the service.
Well, after the show, I'll make sure I give you the name of another home.
Okay, folks, we are talking with Ed Reardon, the Honor Flight Marketing Director, and Alan Wilson, the Chairman of the Central Florida Honor Flight. If you would like to help them out, you can go to honorflightcentralflorida.org. That's Honor Flight Central Florida. And you spell Florida out. You spell Florida out.
Yes, we do.
Okay, you spell it all out, honorflightcentralflorida.org. And once again, that telephone number.
It's 407-203-7010.
Okay, that's 407-203-7010 for Honor Flight Central Florida. Are you gentlemen, Alan, going on the Honor Flight Saturday?
Yeah, I go on most of them. And people say, well, don't you get tired of it? And I got to say, no, I don't. Everyone is special. The last one we went on, the one we have the picture of, we were in town.
Which was just in May the 25th.
It was Memorial Day weekend. And we've got flags in at Arlington, so that's special. But it's also special because Rolling Thunder was in town.
Mm-hmm.
So we got hundreds of thousands of bikers in there. A lot of them are veterans. And you can't move, especially going down to see the Vietnam Wall. You can imagine, here comes a guy in a wheelchair. How is he going to get through there? And these guys turn around, they look behind him, they say, oh, are you a World War II veteran? He says, yeah. World War II veteran coming through. And it parts like the Red Sea, and these guys just treat them like royalty. I mean, we've got 25 rock stars with us every time we go.
When you go there, and you go there obviously on a regular basis, well, let me ask you this. How often do you do these flights out of Central Florida?
Our goal this year was conduct 6 flights. Our first flight was in April. We ran another one in May. This one we have coming up next week. We have another one in July. And we have decided to double up the flights that we had scheduled in September and October for something very special. We'll be flying out of Orlando Sanford Airport on October 19th on Allegiant Airlines. And rather than taking 25 veterans, we'll be taking 50. Additionally,
awesome.
We'll be traveling with the Space Coast Hub on a flight, and 25 veterans are theirs as well. So we'll have 75 World War II veterans and Korean War veterans, along with 75 Guardians and about 15 on staff, filling up a chartered airplane to make it a very, very special trip.
Is there a long waiting period?
Not really.
For a veteran if he wants to go?
It just depends on how quickly they come in and okay. Set in their wraps.
All right, we're going to go to a break. When we come back from the break, we'll read our Who Said That quote again. Maybe I'll sneak out another hint.
A little clue.
Yep. So once again, folks, don't go away. We're talking with Alan Wilson and Ed Reardon from Central Florida Honor Flight. We'll be right back.
We are pleased to announce that Central Florida is now the home of the internationally respected lecturer, educator, and physician, Dr. Shams Tabras. What are the simple, effective steps to living an active, healthy lifestyle? How can you prevent disease? How will the looming changes in healthcare affect you? Dr. Shams Tabras can help guide you through the modern healthcare maze and set you on a course to good health. Did you know that colon cancer is the second biggest killer? That anyone 50 and over is at risk? Colon cancer screenings are highly effective in preventing colon cancer. Call Dr. Shams Tabras at 407-703-3300. That's 407-703-3300 to schedule your colon cancer screening today. Colonoscopy saves lives. Don't hesitate. Call today, 407-703-3300. And don't miss A Step Ahead with Dr. Shams Tabras. Dr. Tabras presents sound medical information and inspiring messages about how to maintain good health for your mind, body, and soul. That's this Saturday right here at noon on Newstalk 660 WORL.
Ho! Hey, folks, this is pro wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I listen to the American Adversaries on Newstalk 660 WORL. Tough guy!
Absolutely, folks. We are the American Adversaries, our Sunday night edition. Squeaky voice Larry Adams here with Christopher Hart in the studio with our executive producer, Nostra Dennis. Also in our studio, two special guests today. That'd be Ed Reardon and Alan Wilson. And they, of course, are with the Space Coast Honor Flight, or actually with
Central Florida.
Central Florida Honor Flight. That's right, what you just handed me. They just handed me, folks, a medal to present to Chris and the American Adversaries, something that's really amazing. I mean, this is beautiful. Thank you, gentlemen. This is for the Space Coast Honor Flight, correct? And again, these are the people that take World War II veterans to places that they will never see again. And it's a very important project, and we're going to talk to them in just a moment. However, we do want to give away tickets for Cafe Positano, and the best way to do that is with Who Said That? Chris, you have so far a stumper tonight
The
Who Said That quote.
So far, and it's a $20 gift card and to Cafe Positano and an American Adversaries T-shirt. And we're going to keep this lovely medal here, I'll tell you what, though.
Not giving that away.
No way. Thank you. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Just we're very honored.
Who said this right here, folks? Experience teaches us that it is much easier to prevent an enemy from posting themselves than it is to dislodge them after they have got possession. As I said, this was a general in American history, and posting themselves is a phrase that is fairly old. That's a second hint. Okay, so if you know who said that, and by the way, JJ called in, it was not General Patton. That's another hint. It was not General Patton who said this. Experience teaches us that it is much easier to prevent an enemy from posting themselves than it is to dislodge them after they have got possession. If you know who said that and you haven't won anything recently, call us at 407-774-8255.
And Chris, you did mention earlier, too, that posting basically means digging yourself in.
Well, taking a position.
Yeah.
Taking a hilltop, taking a country. In this case, I was referring to the Russians basically taking control in Syria and Mr. Obama thinking that he's going to go over there and talk them out of it. Not likely to be done.
And they have a bunch of boats over there now, too, Chris.
Yeah, I don't care how much twisting and turning Mr. Gumby Obama does. He's not going to be able to flex himself out of this problem, I don't think. Okay, back to Ed Reardon and Alan Wilson. We're talking about Honor Flight. Folks, they have a great organization here. They provide a day-long tour for our retired military veterans, World War II, Korea, terminally ill veterans, to go to Washington, D.C. and visit the war memorials and Arlington Cemetery, you said?
Arlington National Cemetery.
And it's at no cost at all to the veteran. Ed, you were just telling us how Honor Flight started, and I think our listeners would enjoy that story.
It's a great story. It actually goes back to 2004 after the memorial was completed.
The World War II memorial.
World War II memorial, yep. Long overdue.
Absolutely.
When a half a dozen private physicians out in Ohio, who also happened to be private pilots, decided that they wanted to take World War II veterans out to Washington, D.C. on their private planes. And the very first Honor Flight was these six physicians, each taking two World War II veterans straight into Washington, D.C. so they could see their memorial.
So they, on six private planes, they took 12 veterans to Washington, D.C. the first time.
That's correct, and that's growing to where we now have 121 Honor Flight hubs throughout the country. And since the organization was started, the national organization, we've taken 100,000 World War II veterans to Washington, D.C. to view and reflect at their memorial.
Now, Ed, let me ask you this. What do you think the impetus was for these doctors? They didn't have to do this. I mean, were these guys, first of all, were they veterans themselves? I mean, there was some reason here these men went to this much of an effort to do this.
Well, I'd like to think that they held to the promise that Harry Truman made at the end of World War II. And what Truman said is displayed at the World War II memorial. And it's very simple, and I'll read it to you. It's, "Our debt to the heroic men and valiant women in the service of our country can never be repaid. They have earned our undying gratitude, and America will never forget their sacrifice."
And it certainly is in the spirit of that. Alan, let me ask you, do you know how many vets from Central Florida has Honor Flight already taken to Washington, D.C.?
Well, there are three hubs in Central Florida, one up in the Villages, one out at Space Coast, which sends their congratulations to you for the show, and
thank you.
Here in Central Florida. And between us, we've taken, I think in the last year and a half, 2 years, we've taken about 350, 400 veterans.
And there's still a lot to go, though, right?
Well, yeah. As Ed said, there are 10,000 or so in the four county area around us.
Just in Central Florida
just
alone.
Just in Central Florida. And then you get out to the coast, there's another 9,000 out there. In the country, a couple of years ago, there were 2 million. They said, we got to hurry up. There's 2 million. There's less than a million now.
And you say our vets, our World War II vets, are dying at a rate nationwide of about 800 a day.
Something like that, yeah.
It's amazing. But, I mean, when you consider how long ago World War II is, it's only time. I hate to say that. But once again, folks, if you would like to help them out either financially or if you would like to be one of the, what do you call the escorts?
Guardians.
Guardians.
Yep. One of the guardians that goes on one of these flights. All you have to do is pay your own way. Give them a call at 407-203-7010. That's Honor Flight, Central Florida, 407-203-7010. Or if you know someone you think ought to be on one of these Honor Flights, a veteran of Korea or World War II or even Vietnam or Iraq or Afghanistan, if they are terminally ill, Alan said you put them at the top of the line.
That's correct.
Okay, and you can also go on the website at Honor Flight, Central Florida, spell it all out, honorflightcentralflorida.org. I implore you, I beg you, please help these guys out.
Well, also people can volunteer to be there when they leave and be there when they come back. Is that to kind of show them off and to welcome them back? Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely.
I believe one of our station personnel here did that.
He was a guardian. Yeah.
Yes. And it takes a real large crew of volunteers to make everything come off as smoothly as it does. We have folks that arrange our orientations, that arrange our reunions, one of which we attended yesterday. We have folks that do direct coordination with our guardians, folks that handle logistics on the ground, logistics with people. It requires an awful lot of work and a lot of dedication from our volunteers.
Okay, I want to get right back to these gentlemen, but I want to go to the lines because we have some people lining up with guesses for our Who Said That contest. Let's first go to Mary from Apopka, who thinks she knows who said it. Welcome to our show, Mary. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yes, and you, who do you think said that?
I was guessing Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Well, you know, that's a very good guess. However, it is incorrect, but it is an extremely good guess. Thank you. Thank you, Mary. If you come up with another one, give us a call. By the way, had you ever heard of Honor Flight before?
I have heard of it.
Okay. Well, I hope that you can find a way to support them in some fashion.
Probably right here on this show.
Yeah, maybe so. All right. Thank you, Mary. Once again, if you figure out who it is, give us a call back.
Okay.
All right. Now I'd like to go to Myra from Orlando, who thinks she knows who said our Who Said That quote tonight. Myra, who do you think said it?
Ulysses S. Grant.
Well, you're getting closer. You're getting closer. It is incorrect, but chronologically speaking, you're much closer.
And you know, they were both generals who also had another big job.
Okay, he's just, yeah, I guess he just gave out another clue, because they do have that in common with the person who actually said, experience teaches us that it is much easier to prevent an enemy from posting themselves than it is to dislodge them after they have got possession. Myra, once again, if you figure out who said it, give us a call back, okay?
Okay.
Chris, they wouldn't have known that was a clue if you didn't blurt it out.
Well, Nostradamus is the one that blurted it out. Once again, this Saturday coming up is going to be the next Honor Flight. Obviously, it's already booked. Are the flights in September and October booked?
Well, the flight in October is open now. There are seats available on that. The one in August, it's actually August instead of July. We've got some Guardian slots left on that. The Veteran slots have filled up, so that's it. We were hoping to take a group of Korean War veterans this year because it's the 60th anniversary of the signing of the armistice.
Yeah, for the Korean War. Yeah.
But it doesn't look like that's going to be able to happen this year.
Okay. Once again, folks, you can help these guys out by going to honorflightcentralflorida.org. That's honorflightcentralflorida.org. Or if you'd prefer to call them at 407-203-7010. Let me ask you this. When you go to Washington, D.C., is the Park Service up there, the you know, people who run these parks, are they very helpful to you? What do they do for you?
Oh, they're just great. I mean, everybody along the way. And I've got to tell you, you know, I've had some problems with TSA myself, but when it comes to Honor Flight, they are super. They're just wonderful.
Well, I'm a little surprised, but thank God for that.
Well, they are. They're great. And then the Park Service, they treat these guys like royalty because these guys are telling them the real story. You know, we had a guy, and this is endemic of these guys. It's a giving generation. And we have a guy named Tommy Piacek. And Tommy was a corporal on Wake Island. Now, if you know the story about Wake, they were attacked the same day, although they were on the other side of the international dateline, as Pearl Harbor.
Yep.
A few weeks later, they were overrun, and they were taken prisoner, and they surrendered. So this guy spent 44 months as a prisoner of war, started out at 165 pounds, ended up at about 78 pounds. And he said, hey, Tommy, you know, you ought to come on this flight. He said, no, I don't think so. He said, I didn't fight. It's the guys that fought. Those are the ones that needs to go. And that's just the type of guy, every single one of them like that.
Because he was in a prisoner of war camp, he considered himself out of the battle.
Yeah, he was
a non-combatant.
Didn't do it. He did point out to me, though, that's the first defeat that the Japanese were handed in the Pacific was the first Battle of Wake. Second Battle of Wake, they brought everything.
Well, God bless you gentlemen for what you do. And as we get closer to the August and the September, we'd love to have you guys back, and we'll go through this again.
Happy to come.
Yeah, and once again, folks, please help these fellas out in some fashion. And even if you would like to be a guardian, it'd be a great way to spend a day. Go to honorflightcentralflorida.org or give them a call at 407-203-7010. Alan Wilson, Ed Reardon, thank you so very much for being here and for what you do and for this great medal. We really appreciate this.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
That's right, folks. Don't let that wonderful asset we have of these World War II vets leave without showing them our respect. You can certainly help these guys out. We're the American Adversaries. We'll be right back. Callers, don't go away.
America fell into darkness. A call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
Welcome back. You're listening to the third hour of the American Adversaries Sunday edition. I'm Tyler Israel here with Nostradamus, Christopher Hart, Lair Adams, and Johnny Guns, and we are just chugging right along, aren't we?
It's time for the third hour of this here three-hour tour.
I thought your name was Taylor. Sorry, I got him on that earlier.
Absolutely, but I just... sending out a shout out to my father here, Jay Israel. I'd like to say Happy Father's Day to you, and everybody in here in the studio wishes their fathers a Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, folks, thank you for joining us on this Father's Day evening here in beautiful Central Florida. And it was a beautiful day today. Got sort of a little hot, but not as hot as they predicted. It was a little overcast and kind of kept that temperature down a little bit. And we started at 5 o'clock. We're going to 8 o'clock, at which time we're going to pass off. We're going to tag off to Mark Walters, and he'll take you up to 11 o'clock for some more live radio right here on 660 WORL and 1520 WBZ.
That would be Armed America.
That's right. Mark Walters, that's right. I'm sorry, with Armed American Radio. Okay, if you want to call and be a part of the show, 407-774-8255 is the number. If you want to call and try to guess who is the author of our Who Said That quote, give us a call at that same number. I'll read it again one more time. Experience teaches us that it is much easier to prevent an enemy from posting themselves than it is to dislodge them after they have got possession. If you think you know who said that, give us a call. Here is Mary. Now, she called a little while ago, and I think she said it was Ike, but she was wrong about that. Now she has another guest. Mary, thank you for calling back. Who is it?
Thank you. It's Mary. And I said I believe it's Robert E. Lee.
No, you're wrong again. You're getting closer, chronologically speaking. But
well, that still gave me a better idea of the time period, the era, but that's still not right.
All right. The time period is still a little late.
Okay.
All right. So if you figure it out, if you can get back through again, give us a call. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. And we appreciate you calling and participating in the contest. And I hope you do figure it out and call us back. Otherwise, folks, it's still out there. A $20 gift card to Cafe Positano and an American Adversaries T-shirt, if you know who said that quote. All right. I'd like to get on to our next guest now. Our next guest was on our show. Oh, I don't know. What is it, Dennis, about a month ago?
It had to be a month and a half ago, sure.
About a month or so ago, and we got a positive response from you listeners out there. And we have come to an agreement that this is beneficial not only to our listeners, but we just think it's a good idea in general. So we've been talking with Ed Roxy, and Ed has agreed to become a co-sponsor of the American Adversaries, and he's going to be generous enough that he's going to be giving away bottles of his product on our show, and he's going to start that giveaway tonight. So I want to welcome to our show from Roxy Pacifics, Mr. Ed Roxy. Thanks for being on our show, Ed, and thanks for agreeing to be a co-sponsor of our show.
Well, you're welcome. It's a wonderful show. I've been listening to you.
Well, thank you so very much. We appreciate that. And from what I understand, you have a wonderful product. We're going to call the giveaway the My Roxy giveaway. And real quickly, just remind our listeners and the new listeners who didn't hear you that night, exactly what is Roxy Pacifics?
Well, Roxy Pacifics is for the skin. It's a key element. It has essential vitamins and minerals found in kelp water. It has vitamin B1 clear to vitamin B12, omega-3, magnesium, omega-6, C, K, D, E, niacin, iodine, boron, and in the proper ratio for human tissue. It's for acne or eczema, and it's anti-inflammatory. Excuse me.
Yeah, I know you're fighting. We were talking yesterday. Ed, by the way, folks, is fighting off a cold, so please be patient with him. You said this is kelp. This is one of the ingredients is kelp water.
Yes, it is kelp water. It's an antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. So if you spray it onto your face, it will take away any irregularities that's in your face. It'll take away acne and eczema. And it's excellent for burns.
For treating burns as well. So this is
If you get burned in the kitchen, immediately spray it. It will go away within about 4 seconds, and it will leave no scarring.
So the pain will go away as well?
Yes.
So this is a topical solution. This is not something you take orally or internally. It's something that you use topically on the skin.
That is correct. You just spray it on your skin. I suggest you spray it 3 times a day.
Let me ask this, Ed. Is this something that you would put on your scalp for any type of scalp treatment?
Absolutely, yes. We have testimonials on our website for skin cancer. It's clearing up skin cancer on your scalp and on the top of your ears, which most people get. And if you get sunburnt real bad and you come back from the lake and you're burning and you can't get it stopped, you spray my product on it, and I guarantee it to stop right away.
Now, Ed, is this approved by the FDA or whatever? Has this gone through the appropriate approval process?
It has gone through a process already through books and stuff that I've read with scientists, and I have all the proof that it is tested, and it is perfectly safe.
Does it have any negative side effects?
No negative side effects. Unless you're allergic to iodine, I would say don't use it.
Okay, iodine would be the one ingredient that it may be irritating to some people.
That's correct.
Okay.
It's because of the kelp.
But essentially, this is a particular concentration, if you will, and tell me, Ed, if this is too loose of a comparison, but it's sort of a specific concentration of seawater or ocean water.
Right, but it comes from a special place that I found. Just a short little story. My granddaughter was 5 years old when she had eczema. And I'm not kidding you, covered from head to toe in all of her little joints and her fingers and by her ears and her neck creases. And the doctors gave her cortisone shots and cortisone cream, and it wasn't helping. It was itching like crazy. And I come up with this, and within 3 days of her using this, she was completely cured.
Now, Ed, tell us about the sizes that are available. You can get the different sizes on the website?
Yes, you can get a 1 ounce. You can get a 2 ounce, you can get an 8 ounce, and you can get a 32 ounce.
How long would a 1 ounce last?
One ounce has like 222 sprays in it, so it lasts quite a while. I don't suggest you waste it. Little kids are spraying themselves when they get boo-boos now. That's what I'm getting on the website. So the mothers don't have to worry about it. It's perfectly safe. yeah, if you don't waste it, it lasts quite a while.
Now, have you had any luck with trying this on psoriasis?
Yes, and it is working on psoriasis. It's for the skin. I don't see that it is actually taking psoriasis away all the way from what I've been told, but it does take all the itching away and the redness.
So for some ailments, this would be something you might use on a constant basis, but for other things like burns and things, you just use it like that one time and you put it back on the shelf.
Yes, and by the way, I've been asked what's the shelf life of that?
Yeah.
Indefinite.
So you can keep this for years and it's still a viable product at any time?
Yeah, it's just like any water that you buy in the store or you get from another company. You don't leave it in the sun. You put it in a place where it doesn't get direct sunlight.
Yeah, like your medicine cabinet at home or the refrigerator.
Right. Correct.
Folks, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to make, I know we still have the Who Said That contest going on, but we'll do this separately. If you would like a bottle of Roxy Pacifics, please give us a call right now at 407-774-8255. We'll take the first caller at 407-774-8255 to get that first bottle of Roxy Pacifics from Ed Roxy. And Ed, you'll mail it to him directly from your plant right there, I take it, right?
I will mail it directly from my plant, and it'll be a one-ounce bottle.
Okay, folks, and it will be no charge to you, no postage charge, no charge for the product itself. And, of course, we'd love to hear how it works out for you. But, Ed, you were telling me that people have actually even used this for shingles.
Oh, my gosh, I'm really glad you brought that up. I don't know if you know who Duncan Hunter is and Mrs. Hunter.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Duncan Hunter, the former congressman, long-time congressman from California, Southern California, who also sat on the Armed Services Committee and was chair for many years.
Absolutely. And was a very good friend of Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he came to town with Ronald Reagan in Washington. What you were going to say about shingles, though?
She gets shingles about every year, and she got them again today, about 2 days ago. And she called me up and told me that she sprayed, and it came on behind her ears, and she sprayed them, and it went away.
So the pain from the shingles went away from your product, Roxy Pacifics.
It's working for shingles wonderfully. Believe me, it's really, shingles are so bad for people, and this stuff really, really helps them.
And the greatest part about it, folks, is it's non-toxic. I mean, this stuff is truly harmless, no side effects. Dennis.
That is correct.
Now, Ed, if you've been listening to the show, you might know the answer to something. The guys were bouncing around the room before I got here. They were talking about border security and building a border fence. And can you tell me who was it in 2006 that got the House to authorize spending for a complete border fence across the entire southern border?
Oh, that makes me mad.
Who is it that got that legislation
Duncan
passed?
Duncan Hunter is the one that got it through.
Yeah, and they at least built the portion that borders Mexico and his district.
Exactly right, and further towards Arizona that way.
Now, what happened in his district once that fence was built and secure? What happened to crime in his district?
It almost went away.
Yeah,
imagine that. Hey, Ed,
I'm telling you.
Ed, real quickly, what's your website? How can people go and find out more about this and order it?
RoxyPacifics.net.
You're gonna have to spell
that. Spelled ROCZEYPACIFIX.net.
Rock Z Pacifics. It's got a Z in the front and an X near the end.
And now, if you want to remember that name, just remember you take a look at a rock and put a Z on it.
There you go, Roxy Pacifics with an X.net. And, of course, we'll be linking up to that on our website, and we'll have a link on our Facebook site as well. And I see Jeff's been in there. He's answering the phone, so I'm sure we have a taker on the first bottle. And we'll be doing this on a regular basis. And so, folks, I once again want to thank Ed Roxy for this. Ed, if you'll stay with us through the break, we have another question or two before we let you go, okay?
You got it.
Okay, folks, we are the American Adversaries. Lair Adams, Christopher Hart, Tyler Israel, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, Jeff Sinis, and Ed Roxy are all with you tonight. Once again, we want to thank Ed Roxy of Roxy Pacifics for joining our list of co-sponsors in the American Adversaries family. It's getting bigger. It's getting better.
Don't forget, we are live.
We'll be right back.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to The American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz, if you can take it.
Okay, folks, welcome back to The American Adversaries. We have on the line with us right now Ed Roxy from Roxy Pacifics. Roxy Pacifics is now in The American Adversaries stable of sponsors, and we are so very grateful. you can do that squealing stuff.
Yeah, because you're a little hoarse.
Definitely. Ed Roxy, we'll get back to him in just a minute. Roxy Pacifics, and we'll talk with him in just a second. I want to congratulate Sherry. Sherry from Castleberry has been the first one to take advantage of a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics from Ed Roxy. And we'll look forward to hear from Sherry how it works for her.
Yeah, I want to hear from her what she used it on and how effective it was.
What if it's personal?
Still want to know.
Oh, yeah, you would. Okay, we want to know who is the author of our Who Said That quote. Experience teaches us that it is much easier to prevent an enemy from posting themselves than it is to dislodge them after they have got possession. We have another couple of callers who think they know who said it, so we'll go first to Earl from Apopka, who thinks he knows who said that. Earl, thank you for calling tonight. Earl, thank you for calling from Apopka tonight.
Hello?
Yes, Earl, go ahead. Who do you think said that?
Yeah. I'd say it's Abraham Lincoln.
No, it was not Abraham Lincoln.
Was that Abraham Lincoln?
No, you're still a little bit late. This fellow, this was a general. This was a general. He was
Abraham Lincoln. Back.
It was,
hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Chris.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Earl Gruber. Listen, Bubba, I'm very proud of you. I didn't know you had a radio station.
Earl,
me and sitting there listening. David, I'm sitting here listening to you, and Dave is bugging me. Okay, this is Abraham Lincoln.
Well, I tell you what, you guys sit back and talk it over a little bit more because you're not quite there yet. You're on the right track, but you're not quite there. Thanks, Earl. Thanks, Earl, and thank you, guys.
Sorry about my luck, Chris.
I appreciate you too.
Thanks for listening.
All right, thank you, guys.
Have a good evening.
All right. Thank you so very much.
We should get back to Ed.
I love you guys. That's Earl and a friend of mine, Earl and Dave, a couple of friends of mine. First of all, Jerry, you need to call back. We just had Jerry, I think, from Orlando on the line, and he had a really, really good guess. All right? So, Jerry, call back. All right? In the meantime, I'd like to go back to Ed Roxy. Ed, how did you come up with the name Roxy Pacifics with an X?
I wanted to be different by putting an X on it instead of like with a C. That way people would remember it. And my last name is Roczey, which people always leave out the Z and want to call it Rocky or something.
Or Roxy with an X, yeah.
Yes, or with an X, yes.
Well, I like the name. It's catchy. And our Roxy, your giveaway every Sunday on our show. And we'll set this up during the week as well as we go along here. But I can't thank you enough on the behalf of our listeners that you'll be giving this product away on a regular basis on our show. But I also encourage you other listeners to go to roxypacifics.net. That's Roxy, R-O-C-Z-E-Y, Pacifics, that's Pacifics with an X, .net, and check this product out. Real quickly, you say it comes in a 1 ounce, I think you said 2, 5, and 10 ounce bottles?
No, 1 ounce, 2 ounce, and 8 ounce, and 32 ounce.
Oh, 8 and 32. Can you give us the prices real quick?
Yes. I want to tell you one more thing real quick about the product.
Please go ahead.
If you have a pet and it has hot spots, spray the hot spots and it'll go away and the fur will grow back.
So this will work on cats and dogs both?
Yes.
And once again, folks,
it's totally non-toxic if they lick it off, right?
That's
what I had a bad ear for over 2 years going to the vet, and I sprayed this in his ear, and within 3 days, he was no longer tearing the fur off of his right ear.
Wow. So you pet owners, it'd be worth having a bottle around just for your cats and dogs, but to be able to use it on yourselves and your children as well. I mean, this is a great product, and I look forward to Ed being with us on a long-term basis. Real quickly, Ed, you were going to say the prices.
The price is 1 ounce, $15, 2 ounces, $28, 8 ounces, $45, and 32-ounce, $75. And our top sellers are the 8 and the 32. That's the best value for your money.
And I tell you, if you suffer from things like eczema and other ailments that this could be used on, that's cheap. That is dirt cheap compared to the other products that are out there on the market.
Yeah, it's non-toxic. It's all natural, 100% natural.
Well, Ed, I want to once again thank you on behalf of our listeners, on behalf of Sherry in particular tonight, for the bottle that you gave away with her. And we'll get you the information so that you can get that in the mail to her. And we look forward to having you on our show on a regular basis and helping you get this product out there.
Well, happy Father's Day to you and all your listeners, all your male listeners.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. And to you and to Duncan Hunter as well. And we appreciate so very much you gentlemen and everything you're doing.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that's Ed Roxy of Roxy Pacifics. And as I said, Roxy Pacifics is now a sponsor of the American Adversaries, so you'll be hearing a lot more from them. And I hope you'll find it to your advantage to take advantage of his product, you know, because you can't beat it if it's non-toxic and has no negative side effects. What's it going to hurt you to try it? A couple of bucks? And just think of the relief it may bring you. And the fact that you can treat burns with it. Well, it's worth having in your medicine cabinet just for that.
That's right. And it's a product you're not going to find on the shelves of the local grocery store, drugstore, maybe even in your health food store.
Right now, the only way you're going to find out about it is by listening to the American Adversaries. Okay, and we've got a couple of other listeners who are on the line. And I want to go to Jerry from Orlando, who called in. I'm sorry. Is that right, Jeff?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Jerry from Orlando is all set to go. Jerry, thank you. Who is the author of our Who Said That quote tonight?
I think it was George Washington.
You, sir, are correct! It was George Washington. You're absolutely right. You know, not only was he a great president, but as we all know, he was also a great general, a great leader of men in particular. But I think this in particular, this quote today, has so much relevance in what's going on in the world. I mean, if the United States backs off and just wants to play, you know, leading from behind, well, we can expect to get left behind and for it to be a lot harder to make things right when we finally do get called into the situation. Am I wrong, Jerry?
No, you're 100% right, and that's exactly what's been happening and will continue to happen as long as this guy is in office.
Yeah, I agree with you there, because first and foremost, he has no experience. And that's what George Washington says here. Experience teaches us. When you got no experience, you can expect this kind of steep learning curve.
That's right. And, Jerry, we just have to look at history. I'm sorry, but France has done an awful lot of starting little skirmishes and conflicts and not finishing them up. They have a bad history of that, and I hope we don't go down that road.
Well, it looks like we're doing that just right now anyway. Hey, Jerry, if you'll stay on the line, and Jeff will get your information in there, and don't forget to give him your shirt size as well.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for being a part of our show tonight. And participating in our Who Said That contest. We also had Rick on the line who had the correct answer. Is Rick still on the line with us, Jeff? Okay, Rick dropped off, but if Rick will call back, we'll definitely come up with a consolation prize for Rick. Okay, once again, folks, want to thank Ed Roxy of Roxy Pacifics, and you can find out more about his product or order it simply by going to roxypacifics.net. That's ROC. ZEYPACIFIX.net. Okay, let's go. Okay, Rick's back on. Rick, thanks for calling, and you had the correct answer too. So we'll get you something in the mail as well. How you doing tonight?
All right, guys. You know, this is one of the things I love, but I originally thought it might be Sun Tzu, but you said it was an American general. So
yeah,
judging by the language, the words used, I went with our first and best commander-in-chief.
Yeah, it was definitely. But you're absolutely right. That would be something that you would see in The Art of War by Sun Tzu, or some people say Sun Tzu. But,
I have a copy of that you gave me.
Yeah, and but it is all about the strategy of war. And you know, unfortunately, Barack Obama has to be the president, even when you consider Bill Clinton, with the least amount of military or executive experience in one of the worst times in history when we need somebody with military and executive experience. I mean, it's like Colonel McKnight has said on our show, he's the wrong man at the wrong place at the wrong time. And we're stuck with him.
And he should know, because he served under another wrong man at the wrong place at the wrong time militarily.
Right. Yeah, just remember, guys, Bill Clinton didn't inhale.
Yeah, Rick, you were going to say.
Yeah, Bill Clinton at least governed the state, so he had some administrative experience.
And having been governor of a state, he did also deal with the state National Guard. So he did, you're right, have some...
he had some experience. And I have to say, I think the reason that our Congress keeps going after these omnibus bills that are comprehensive is so that they can screw everything up at once.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen to that. You sure got that one right, Rick. Hey, thanks so much for being out there, and we appreciate you.
Okay.
All right, we appreciate you very much. And we appreciate all you folks, and we'll be right back.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
Welcome back, folks. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries, and we're coming around the bend and entering down the stretch they came. The home stretch here, the last half hour of our show tonight. Once again, stick around after our show from 8 to 11. You'll have Mark Walters live on Armed American Radio. Sherry, you're on the line. If you'll hold on, we'll get to you here in just a couple minutes. But it's time now for WTF News with Johnny Guns.
Thank you, Chris. Let's start with our Dumb Criminal of the Week. And that award travels across the pond to Solihull, England, where a man called the British version of 911 to complain about the way his lady of the evening looked. The caller dialed 999 claiming that his lady friend had made out that she was better looking than she actually was, and he wished to report her for breaching the Sale of Goods Act. Now, in England, the Sale of Goods Act states that all goods must match the seller's description. Police responded by saying that the woman had not committed any offenses and explained to the man that meeting a woman in a hotel parking lot for a rented romp was the real illegal act. Though he didn't give his details, police were able to identify the man and sent him a letter about his actions. Now my question for you guys, trivia question, which offense carries a longer prison stay in England? Is it wasting police time or solicitation?
Wasting police time.
Wasting police
time. I'll go with Chris, yeah.
All right. That is correct. It is wasting police time. 6 months. Solicitation, 3 months. And I'm hoping you guys just guessed and got the correct answer on that.
We are well-researched.
Yes. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, let's leave it there. And move on to story number two. Now, this story is proof that love should come with a price tag. Andrei Zopka of Lazma, Poland, broke up with his girlfriend but hoped to woo her back the old-fashioned way by giving her flowers. The problem was that Andrei is a broke as whatever the Polish word for joke is. Andrei went to the local florist to pick out a bouquet via a five-finger discount. He snuck up to the front window, snatched the flowers, and dashed from the scene. The floral-fingered felon would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for a television crew doing a live shoot in front of the flower shop. The reporter was none the wiser, but hundreds of viewers called the police to report the robbery. When he was arrested, the flat-footed Zopka explained his relationship status to police, saying, quote, "I wanted to win her back with some flowers, but I had no money. I didn't even seem the film crew," unquote. When asked for comment, 1980s rapper Young MC rhymed unsympathetically, "Got no woman and you got no car, then you got no woman, and there you are."
You know, they really...
Bust a move.
Don't just stand there. Bust a move.
They really need to stem that type of floral
crop. Oh, Lord have mercy.
I'll leave it alone. Right?
Hey, at least he didn't steal them off a grave.
That's right. Story number three.
I stole that joke off one.
I know it.
It's Father's Day, and I thought we'd close with the story of a dad who fulfilled a fantasy and got a sobering dose of reality within a matter of minutes. A weary father stayed up later than the rest of his family on a Saturday night to watch the lottery numbers drawn live on TV. After the last number had been announced and checking his ticket, he couldn't believe his eyes. He had won the lottery. Shouts of excitement woke everyone in the house. His wife and children ran from their rooms to find out what the commotion was all about. The father showed them the ticket, and sure enough, it had all six winning numbers. However, before calling in sick on Monday and gassing up for Tallahassee, reality struck. What the father didn't realize was that the ticket actually had five plays printed on it. He thought that if all six numbers appeared somewhere on the ticket, that he had won the lottery. After the adrenaline wore off, everyone trudged off to bed. Now, in all the years I've known my dad, he's provided love, support, and smiles beyond measure. And as we all got out of this story, a ton of smiles. I love you, Dad. Happy Father's Day.
All right. Excellent, excellent, excellent sentiment. And happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there, for sure. Nostra Dennis, so you have a story or two, and then we'll get to Sherry.
I do, but first, a little Father's Day wish. One of my favorite broadcasters is Mets broadcaster Ralph Kiner. He was like Yogi Berra. He would say things that made no sense except to him. And so one day on Father's Day, it's a beautiful day here at Shea Stadium. I'm Ralph Kiner, and on behalf of my whole broadcast crew, to all you fathers out there, happy birthday. Okay.
No wonder they don't win too often.
Yeah. Does Jeff have the open queued up?
Jeff, the open queued up for Nostra Dennis predicts the pass.
Nostra Dennis predicts the pass.
Thank you, Mr. 5-Minute Professor.
My arm's getting tired playing the violin again.
In California, Hayward, California, Strobridge Elementary School is doing one of those gun turn-in programs where you turn in a gun and you get something else. It's a toy gun turn-in program. Principal Charles Hill decided that children who play with toy guns might not think real guns are dangerous. And so as they get older, it would be easier for them to use a real gun. So he's having the kids bring in their toy guns, and he'll give them other toys or books or raffle tickets to win a bicycle. And just to show that the local government can do surveillance just like the NSA, the kids can be fingerprinted and photographed at the event for safety's sake, of course.
I wonder if one of those books that he'll trade is The Guns of Navarone.
I was a kid not too long ago, and I don't know of any time I would have traded my Nerf gun for a book.
For a book, yeah.
I tell you what.
Maybe a sword.
An IRS agent was recorded on audio tape this past week telling a pro-life organization they have to remain neutral on the issue of abortion. This was in the course of asking them questions about their 501c3 status.
Right.
IRS agent Sherry Wan can be heard telling Ania Joseph, president of the Pro-Life Revolution, you have to know your boundaries, you have to know your limits, you have to respect other people's beliefs. The IRS is a tax collector, said Ania Joseph. It should not be allowed to be the speech and belief police. The agents seem to be very biased and have an ideological bent against pro-life resolution.
Oh, boy. That's insanity. Insanity.
Obamacare. Speaking of insanity.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought back and wondered who coined the term Obamacare?
He did, didn't he?
No, it was actually used in a derogatory type sense, wasn't it?
Well, I know who's claiming.
Yeah. Can you tell us, Tyler, who's claiming to be the inventor of the term Obamacare?
I think it's Mr. Wiener, isn't it?
Anthony Wiener.
Oh, no!
Now, he's done a lot of things in his life, some of which he didn't take responsibility for, but he said in an interview with the New York Times, yeah, I came up with that term. Yeah, Barbara Morgan, a spokesman for the Wiener, who's running for mayor of New York City, by the way, insisted, no, he didn't mean he was the first one ever to use it. He's only the first one on the left to embrace it unapologetically.
Yeah, kind of like Al Gore inventing the internet.
Right.
Yeah, folks, that just goes to show you, never trust a wiener.
Never do. And finally, speaking of Al's on the left, the NSA has at least one liberal friend left.
Who?
Senator Al Franken.
No.
Yes, Franken, who, by the way, is on a couple of committees, including the Senate Judiciary Committee, says he knows about all this data mining. He's known about it since he became a senator. And he has a high level of confidence that this is being used to protect us. And he knows that it's been successful in preventing terrorism. That's funny because in 2006, before he officially announced he was running for Senate, this is what he said about the Bush administration's NSA warrantless surveillance program, which was about a tenth as big as it is under Obama. They're trying to justify these wiretaps by saying, oh, it's Al-Qaeda. One guy is saying it's just Al-Qaeda, and you hear from the FBI they were inundated with referrals and all kinds of stuff. I think it's a Rovian strategy. Karl Rove, talking about him.
Yeah.
We win on national security. We'll scare people, and then we'll just win.
And it's very similar to what Obama said prior to becoming president, that it's a false choice between liberties and security.
If you go to a post from about 2 days ago on our American Adversaries website, I put a link up there to a YouTube video that has candidate Obama, Senator Obama, against President Obama, and you just don't know who to root for in that debate.
Yeah. Okay, let's now go to, thank you, Dennis, thank you, Johnny Guns. Let's go to Sherry. She'll be our final caller for tonight. Sherry, thank you for calling, and you're the Sherry who won, or yes, took advantage of the Roxy Pacifics.
Absolutely.
Congratulations.
First, I'd like to call and thank you and Ed Roxy for that.
Well, you're welcome on our behalf, certainly.
Yeah, I'll use it on my horse.
Oh, great.
Cats, my dogs, me. I'm going to get my brother a bottle of it.
Well, I'd love to hear how it works for you.
I will. And also, my next door neighbor is works for Pet Rescue by Judy.
Oh, great.
And they're also, you know, they have animals, you know, they come in that have, you know, problems.
Oh, wow. Well, we'll see if we can't get them a bottle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, anyway, this thing about Syria, I'll talk real fast. You made the comment that this is a Muslim thing?
It's basically a Muslim feud, yeah, between Shia and Sunni Muslims.
Okay. I just wanted to tell you this. I listen to Good Life Christian, Channel 45 in Lake Mary.
Right.
And twice a day they have Gaither Hour on. I don't know if you heard of the Gaithers before.
Gaither, mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh? Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, well,
they host the show.
2002, 2003, Mark Lowry did a concert out in Hollywood, California, which was packed. And beginning, he was working up the audience, and he said to everybody, he said, I want you to clap and raise your hand when I call, you know, your denomination. And he said, how many Presbyterians are in the audience? How many Jews are in the audience? How many Methodists are in the audience? Catholics? He went through the whole spiel. And then he came to how many non-denominationals? And they, of course, raised their hand, and he made the comment, well, you just can't make up your mind. And with his comedic timing, he's paused, and then he said, it isn't amazing, we have all these denominations in this concert hall, and nobody's killing each other.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Very good point, Sherry. Excellent point. Thank you for bringing that up to us.
And okay, hon. Thank you.
And once again, congratulations for taking advantage of Roxy Pacifics.
Well, thank you.
And you're the perfect customer, because not only are you going to use it on yourself, but your animals and your neighbors. That's great.
Yeah, well, you know, my horse is outside all the time, and those mosquitoes are bad in the summertime, and she itches and everything, and so.
Perfect.
I'll spray it on her and. You know.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it works. Thank
okay,
you, Sherry.
I'll let you know.
Okay. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Definitely.
Now I'm going to try it on my pet platypus.
Yeah. All right. Okay, folks.
Delbert.
When we come back from the break, we'll still have Lair's closing comments and then a few closing comments of our own. So please stick around. We're not done yet. We are the American Adversaries. It is Sunday night. And once again, folks, don't forget, we are
live.
And we'll be right back.
Hey folks, this is professional wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I know wrestling. And for the best in political professional wrestling, listen to the American Adversaries on 660 WORL. Tough guy.
Okay, welcome back, folks. That's right. It is the American Adversaries. And as I said a while ago, down the stretch we come. This is the final segment of our show tonight. I want to thank you for being a part of our show and a listening audience and for all of those great calls. We appreciate that. Also want to thank our guests, Ed Reardon and Alan Wilson, and, of course, Ed Roxy for being on our show today. It is time now, though, for the rest of us to just sort of sit back and enjoy as Lair gives us his closing comments.
Thanks, Chris. You know, I'd like to wish many of you a very happy Father's Day. And for the rest of you, a not-so-sad one. This holiday, like Mother's Day, can be bittersweet when we miss the ones we've lost. Hey, it's terrible to be an orphan, even if you're 100. My dad has been gone for a decade, yet we talk every day. The 8x10 picture of his face is on my refrigerator. If you come to my house, my dad is between you and a beer or soda. Today I shed the yearly tears of Father's Day with his image. Tears of missing and tears of wonderful memories he so graciously left me with.
So many of those memories involve him watching me become a dad and sharing his pride in not only me, but my daughter. Now, I understand not everyone has or has had that kind of relationship with their fathers. Many have never known theirs. Others have had many father figures, good and bad. But for now, I'd like to address those fathers, natural and not, and those who are glad you have or had a dad. This may sound a little odd, but I really wonder why we have Father's or Mother's Day. I understand the greeting card companies and manufacturers are behind the big deal we make of this day, but that's not what I'm talking about. The good fathers out there, the ones that don't question their children's love, and yes, even their devotion, will understand what I'm talking about. Being the product of a good father, and having been told I also am, from a trusted authority, I've learned that every day is Father's Day. Even if you don't have children, each moment you think of your dad is Father's Day. That special familiarity stored in your head and heart that hears your dad's voice give his opinion with all the force and emotion as if he were standing next to you or behind you. Yeah, that's Father's Day. And if you're fortunate enough to have kids, and you love them all like I love mine, when you hear their voice, yeah, even when it's to borrow a little, yes, little money, it's Father's Day. If you have a daughter, daughters, or daughters-in-law, the circle is completed with the birth of their children, who, ironically, will celebrate Father's Day with a different dad. Because now, you're a granddad. Personally, I'm disappointed in the so-called dads who'd rather spend the day away from their kids doing only what they want to do. These are the chromosomally challenged jerks who can't understand Father's Day is the number one day to be a good dad, which is, listen up, dummies, every day. Also, never let the excuse I didn't have a good dad be any reason not to be a good one yourself. Finally, here's a little secret I'll share with you this Father's Day. One way to know the great impact you've had on your child is 10 years after you've left this world, your face is seen every time they need something cool and refreshing. Celebrate, dads, and dads, celebrate. And have a fantastic week, folks.
Excellent, Lair. We missed you last week. We had a pretty good substitute, though.
I could talk then.
Well, we missed you last week when you weren't with us. Very excellent sentiments. I knew your dad. He was a great man. I can't believe it's already been 10 years.
10 years. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, he was, Irvin was a fine man.
But I do talk to him every day.
Yeah, I know.
And if you're over my house, you'll see his picture right there.
Now, I don't want to be on the fridge when I go. I want to be on the beer mug itself. Dad, yeah.
Your image would fit on a beer mug.
I think it'd be very appropriate.
They should fit in the bottom of the beer mug right there. Hi, have another.
That's right. You know, but your daddy, he took great pride in all of his sons. And he really enjoyed hanging around your kayak shop.
Oh, he loved that and loved all the people. He liked young people. My mother is 95. She loves being around young people. Yep. And as far as the picture on the refrigerator, I have my dad's picture on the refrigerator, and my toilet paper has Obama's picture on it.
Well, he serves a purpose.
That is apropos. And speaking of President Obama, we brought this up earlier, so I want to kind of tie up this one loose end. Yes, very soon this summer, the Obamas are going to Africa, and it's going to cost us $60 to $100 million.
Have you heard the spending that they're going to be using that money on?
It's going to be tractors to guard the president, 14 limos, bulletproof glass in the hotel rooms he's staying in. It's tons of security people. It's a deal.
The scrambled jets, too, right. Just in case they've got a...
And the White House chief of staff, when asked by Bob Schieffer this morning, isn't this a little extravagant considering the U.S. economy in particular, that we're having to deal with a sequester and you can't give White House tours? And Mr. McDonough, the White House chief of staff, his response was basically, and I'll sum it up, he needs, because of the sequester, he needs to go to Africa and spend all of this money. Because we need the economic positive benefits that will result from this Africa trip to offset the sequester.
Oh, we'll get some skins?
I guess.
We'll get some skins and ivory?
You got to at least say
that the deal?
They got audacity. They got audacity, that's for sure. And I just want to say a couple words about my dad. My dad's been gone since 1978, and I dearly miss him. But even though he died young in my life, the impression he made on my life has lasted all through my life. The best decisions I've made in my life were when I considered his advice. The worst decisions I've made in my life is when I discounted his advice. And his picture is on my bedroom wall. I see it pretty much first thing every morning. And along with his picture, right in the corner of the picture is a card where he ran for road commissioner in Georgia. And he didn't win, but he did run. And were it not for my dad, I can guarantee you I wouldn't be sitting here doing this radio show, because he's the one that instilled in me my opinionatedness, if you will, and my willingness to express my opinion, because he would do the same. And if I do have any common sense, it came from my dad. And he took us to all the political things that he could take us to. He wanted us to know the political process, to understand how important and how great of a privilege it was for us as Americans to have the political process that we have. So, and finally, as I mentioned earlier on in the show, my fondest memories of my dad are just sitting with him, you know, wherever it happened to be. And in particular, in the car, listening to a staticky radio signal of Atlanta Braves baseball games as they were transmitted in Central Florida back at that time. So, Dad, I love you and I miss you. All right, folks, once again, please stick around. We have Mark Walters with Armed American Radio coming up next. He'll take you live to the 11 o'clock hour, at which time we're going to have a replay of Pat Williams' show, and he does a great show. Pat Williams gets some great authors, some great guests on his show. Of course, yes, I'm talking about Pat Williams of the Orlando Magic.
Sure.
And his show will be coming up at 11 o'clock tonight, even though it won't be live. I highly recommend you listen to it, and I highly recommend you listen to the Carl Jackson Show every Saturday morning live from 8 to 9 a.m., and Marshall Polston, who is live from 2 to 3 p.m., and check out Sultan Ramza. Now, he's on 950. Saturday is at 6, but he was on Carl's show yesterday morning, and I've listened to his show a time or two, and I think you folks will like that. And don't forget Don Miller on 1520 every night. Excuse me, not every night. Monday through Thursday night from 7 to 9 p.m.
That's right, folks. Of course, we are the American Adversaries, and our schedule is an easy one to remember, 6 nights a week. Sunday nights, 5 to 8 o'clock, despite what our commercial sometimes says. And during the week, 5 to 6 o'clock, Monday through Friday, for the best in political professional wrestling. Nostradamus, you got any ideas what's happening this week?
It's easy. If it's 5 o'clock and it's not Saturday, we're on the air. Is that pretty simple?
And you'll want to listen to our show tomorrow. We've got a couple of guests lined up for you, one of which is Kathy Gibson. She's with the East Orlando Tea Party. They've got a meeting coming up Tuesday that she's going to tell us all about.
All right. Johnny Guns is a big sports fan like I am, and he knows more than I do. On Tuesday, the Rays have a doubleheader going on against the Red Sox. They got a 1 o'clock game and then a 7 o'clock game, a day-night. If the 1 o'clock game runs long, it may bleed into the beginning of our show on that.
That's this Tuesday?
This Tuesday, the 18th.
This Tuesday afternoon. Once right. again, folks, the same routine. If you
go
tune
down
in.
Down to 1520.
And the Rays are on, go up to 1520.
And next Sunday, 1 week from tonight, it's a game against the Yankees. First pitch at 2:05. The Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Rays spend all day playing baseball. So that guaranteed. That's going to run into our show.
Yeah, but we'll be
down
live
to the
Sunday night on 1520. And you can always, you don't have to worry about this baseball stuff. If you just go to 660WORL.com, you'll get the live streaming signal all the time there.
And if you do miss us, you can check us out on Podbean. Also updates to iTunes. So if you put in American Adversaries Radio to either one, you can check us out.
That's right. The American Adversaries will be back tomorrow night at 5 o'clock with fresh, new, hot-off-the-grill information for you to chew on.
Night, everybody.